Blog Talk Radio.
I thank it for me.
Yes, I am.
Ring bang da da da, dang da da da.
Tell me,
a revolution. Yeah. I'm on fire for revolution. Revolution, yeah. Rasta sight of that revolution, yeah. Dang da da da, dang da da da.
Check me.
Some half the people don't come out and them a make big speech, but poor people the food not reach. I man have to wonder how them really sleep. Them living in the pool while the poor are feel the heat. Red concrete. Why, oh, it's red country. Why, you never get so far top down, you ain't nothing but a victim. We're just trapped in a political system. There ain't no one to say let alone. If you hit the big man a gunshot, them broke your bone with stone. Why, so a revolution, yeah. I'm on site a revolution, coming in a Babylon. A revolution, yeah. A hot revolution. Ring bang da da ding, bang da da ding. Heads of government, what is your aim? Where is the plan? Where is the future for the younger generation? If there's no light at the end of the tunnel, well, come your son, I go red like hell. For man, the peas are cooked, but the rice can't swell. For no more big speech, time to come action. Crime and the violence rampant in our nation. People say it's because of suffering. There's got to be a revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution, wriggling in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution, yeah. Guns, knives and cutlass revolution. Dang da da dang, dang da da bang. All you false leaders, I brand you as traitors. Nothing but whoremongers, idol worshippers, them assassins. Yo, you better come down off of your pumpkin Christ. Stop taking poor people for a joyride. Cause all you teach is to divide and rule, and I use the people then with your political tools. Just fool. Sure. Cause a revolution, yeah. The poor boy to steal the revolution. Ring dang da da ding, dang da da ding. A revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution. Ding da dang da dang da dang. No matter how them a come out and a kill off them teeth, yet the poor man the food not reach. Tell them all to practice what they preach. Cause I don't want to see them all a paging speech. Whoa, cause a revolution, yeah. I'm on site for revolution. Ring dang da da dang da da. A revolution.
Greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show.
What that was.
Today I had a kind of a busy day. Hope everybody had a good. Oh, I hate saying it, but good week. We'll just leave it at that. But hope you all had a good week, good weekend. Hope everybody make it around safe. You didn't lose nobody and stuff. Have fun going ahead and hanging out with family. Getting a little buzz and shit. So, yeah, I'm with that. That was cool. That's cool. But I kept looking at all the shopping. People running and shopping and shopping and shopping. People losing their goddamn mind, running and shopping, buying shit. Shit you don't fucking need. Shit you ain't got no business having. Material shit. Keep saying it. Fantasy and materialism is the biggest thing that's fucking us around. And it makes it, what makes it even bad, makes it even worse, is that we buy shit from other people. We ain't doing nothing to help ourselves. Nothing. Not a damn thing to help ourselves. We got too many people telling us, say, hey, you be a good American, buy American. I remember people was telling me that shit, man. I bought a fucking Honda. I'm like, ain't you a bad American car? Parts too expensive. Motherfucker, that's why I'm working. Man, fuck you. That's why I got an income. That's why I got some way to generate revenue, you bastard. Get away from me. Tell me some shit, you're hurting the U.S. economy. Fuck, the U.S. economy owed me, if you really think about it. They owe me some shit. I helped build it. My family, my relatives, my ancestors helped build it. So you can go to hell with all that old shit. But I'm going to get to that, some of that shit in a minute. Let me go ahead and say greetings to a couple of people. Hey, Tracy, hey, Poverty Supreme. Well, people usually know that I go ahead and do a little music, talk a little bit. That you're thinking. So I'm gonna come back around my mouth a little bit more. So let me find something interesting. I hope I can still. Let me see. Oh man, there was one track that I wanted to play that just would just mess your mind up. But let me set some little Claude Anderson on you.
Yes. All of America, all of America on Friday evening. Go to any big city. And you'll see blacks lined up to get into Chinatown to go to China, eat some Chinese food. Have you ever seen Chinese lined up trying to get into a black town? Somebody is not playing with a full deck. You're not playing the game to win, you're just playing. And you got to stop spending your money. So then I go to various cities and blacks got the nasty habit when company comes, putting them in their car on a Sunday and taking them out to the white community and say, let me go out and show you some nice white homes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's go out to look at the white malls. And then they come back home and say, how in the world can white folk afford all those fine homes and big houses? It's easy. It's your money. You see what I'm saying? And y'all think I'm teasing. See, they're living off of two incomes. They live off 100% of their income and 95% of yours. And you're trying to live off of 2%. It is humanly impossible for a race of people to live off of 2% of their income. And in America, you equate human worth based on what you own. And if black folk don't own 2%, that's why white racists say, black folk ain't worth 2 cents. Because we don't own anything, and human worth is equated in this country based on what you own and control. And we violate all the premises of economics. We have yet to learn how to practice group economics. And the last thing about integration is that integration got a quota system, and you need to know this. It's got a quota system. You hear white somebody against quotas, they're wrong. It's got a quota system. Anytime you get more than 5 to 8% of blacks involved in anything, whites are going to put up a chain. They're going to stop you. If more than 5 to 8% of blacks move into their community, they're going to put their house up for sale. If more than 5% of the blacks, 8% of blacks go into their schools, they're going to pull their kids out of school. If more than 5 to 8% of the blacks come into their businesses, they're going to move the business out of town, cross town, out of the country. If more than 5 to 8% of the blacks come into their association, they'll resign. They got a quota system. And people say, well, blacks are against affirmative action. No, they're not against affirmative action. They're against affirmative action for you. You see, whether it gets a set aside, racism is nothing but preferential treatment for whites. They say they're against preferential treatment. You hear them say they're against set aside. Jim Crow is nothing but a 100-year set-aside program for whites. So they set aside the best restaurants, the best food, the best schools for whites. They said against quotas. You got a quota system, I told you, in the immigration laws. Today, you still are a planned minority. You can't win. So now let me get to some solutions for you very quickly. I have a few more minutes I got left. What we're going to do across this country now is going to call Powernomics. That's a new book coming out called Powernomics, Unleashing Black American Potential. It's a follow-up to the book Black Labor, White Wealth. It'll show you in very specific terms what you got to do to be competitive. The things we got to focus on is in broad categories with specific principles. The first is a community. You cannot do anything unless you have a community. Your community is your social cohesiveness. The only power, the potential that black people have in America is your social, racial cohesiveness. If you don't have that, you have no power. Forget about everything else. That's a fact of life. You got to have a community because the community will give you your businesses. It'll give you your sales opportunities and your markets. Now, how do you develop communities? The first thing you must do is stay out of all cross-purpose issues. Cross-purpose means horizontal issues. Don't get involved in any horizontal issues. Let me explain it to you. I see the puzzlements in your eyes. First, racism is vertical. Remember this. Racism is straight up and down. Racism means I don't care whether you are the lowest income black or the highest, the best educated or the least educated. It doesn't make any difference. You're all in the same tube. Okay? That's what Malcolm X, that's what it was, a black man with a PhD. Remember that saying? He answered, well, he's still a Negro. Okay? It means it doesn't make any difference. You're all in together. That's straight up and down. Horizontal issues are any issue that pertains to everybody, stay out of it. You're the weakest and poorest, most vulnerable people. Don't get involved in it. Because the only people that can benefit are those people who are directly behind where the horizontal crosses the vertical. Okay? The only people that benefit are where those two points cross. That's too small. You don't have that kind of energy and resources to waste. Now, what's a horizontal issue? Sexism is a horizontal issue. When you get into these various religious issues, that's a horizontal issue. Poverty is a horizontal issue. I keep telling some of my civil rights leaders, stay away from poverty. You cannot eradicate poverty. Poverty is a fix. It's a given. You're always going to have poor people. And people say, well, you're going to have poor Greeks, poor Indians, poor Lithuanians, poor Hungarians. Quit trying to eradicate poverty and try to get as many black folk as you out and leave poverty alone. But they try to eradicate something that can't be eradicated. Culturalism. That's a horizontal issue. And it pertains to everybody. Let me give you about sexism, for instance. I tell black women who always want to get into sex issues, they think that somehow that the issue is sex rather than racism. See, my great-grandmother was not enslaved because she's a woman. She was enslaved because she was black. Okay? And if you're going to get into sexism, I want black women to understand this, to keep your priorities in order. If I say abracadabra right now and sexism disappeared, you still can't go into place because you're black. And to keep it in order, remember what your mother felt. The minute she knew she was pregnant, she knew at that moment she was going to have what? A black child long before she knew the sex. So you keep your priorities straight and say, since my color came before my sex, I'm going to keep it in that order. You always say black first. So stay out of those cross-purpose issues, and I'll explain all the next time I come back out here on a Powernomics workshop or something. But that's very important. I can show you all the problems you got with that. And see, but once you stay out of those horizontal issues, like I tell some of my Muslim friends, I said, don't be worried about pushing Islamic faith. Push your skin color first and stay aligned with your people. And I tell them, the people in the Baptist church, quit worrying about being a Baptist and worry about being black. And again, I have to give credit to your minister. It seems like he's one of the few in the country who understands that. That you put who you are and as a people before you start talking about what denomination you belong to. And especially since most of the denominations on the earth all work together to enslave black folk, all of them pimp and hustle black folk. The Catholics, the Protestants, the Baptists, the Jews, and everybody else got black folk. But what we're going to do then is start, once we get past building these communities, then we're going to start getting into what we call practicing, building alternative economics.
Hi, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. How we doing? The thing I was really was going through my mind is I just kind of was drifting off, and I was just thinking, why do black people pay for their own problems or contribute to their own problems? and giving your money to other motherfuckers, making them rich and making you powerless. Why can't you just stop giving your money to these other people who hate you, treat you like shit? What's going on here? I was walking through the mall today. Main reason I was there, you know, I need some shit though. But I ain't gonna be, I'm not trying to go here and make myself out to be a hypocrite. But when I went there, that was the place that it was. I went over to Sears to go ahead. That's where I got my tires from, my one car. So it's connected to a mall, like, you know, like a lot of cities in the U.S. So I decided to kill time and walk through the mall. I seen so many black people in there, and I was like, wow. It's a predominantly white mall, but the whites I see, the blacks I saw were just going crazy over buying that shit. It's not even contributing to their upbringing and uplifting, increasing their bottom line. So then I drove to the city, drove into the Chicago, and then seen a lot of black people shopping in this one little area, but shopping with people who don't even fucking live in the area. Now, this is, you know, something like that war on black people has gone, you know, gone from all out, just straight killing you, so that you're fucking your mind up, to having you doing what you're doing now. They know your, you know your place. I think I read it where Carter G. Woodson said, you know, the black man come to the White House, he know to go to the back door. I think so, he was putting it something like that. I could be wrong, but the message is still clear. Black man know his place, know which way to go, know where to go around white folks. Even the toughest nigga out here has ways of showing that you know, his, you know, that the white man has that kryptonite to go ahead and slow you down. It's crazy. But one thing, it's like, when has that war against black people ever stopped? And we can't really pinpoint when it begun, but you know it's something going on. You know what's something going on, and then we got a whole lot of people who just say, fuck it. They just surrendered, gave up. Don't even want to fight no fucking more. They just go ahead and tell you, hey, look, that's all. That's the way it's always been. No, it's not, you stupid. No, it hasn't always been like that. Niggas ain't always been on the bottom. You ain't always called yourself a nigga. So, it's a lot of work to be done, but it's just mind-boggling. But I think that we need to have dialogue. We need to talk. Talking to each other, showing some kind of love. It's always good to run up and hug somebody. Even better run up a woman, kiss a woman in the mouth. You know, I like doing that a lot. Maybe damn, she pushed me away. I'm kissing a woman. But anyway, the most amazing part about what I saw today was, it's like, you know, you can't go ahead and tell what people are thinking again, but you can see the action, so it kind of feeds in to what someone said about black folks a while back. I don't know, Piaki. I get a lot of people coming in later on and checking my archives. Piaki's asking me where everybody else is at, so this place looks kind of empty. Oh, I'm getting worried. I'm getting worried. Oh, hey. I'm going to play one more track, and then I'm going to talk to my brother, Poverty Supreme. Sorry. Like, my lips got stuck together. That's one of the beauties of being black in America. Got the big old nice lips. So cool.
Raise your right hand.
Are you with me, Sarah? Just go!
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Greetings to everybody. So, I have my brother Poverty Supreme there. You there, brother?
Yes, my brother.
No. Let me. I never been to your part of the world. I mean, not there. You know, that corner, so to speak. But I've been to a few other places, you know. But honestly, I don't, you know, don't take this the wrong way. I just really had no damn desire to go there. Because from what I, you know, people say, oh, you have the time, you're good, you know, you'll be all right. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. But first off, it seems a little bit colder than here, man, is it? Brother, you there?
I'm here, brother. I think
no, is it a little bit cold over there than it is here?
Very cold, man. Oh, my word. That's what I'm dealing with is cold, man. As I said, they can, as I said, the devil can have Europe. And I was on one racist station the other day, and I said, you guys can have Europe, yeah? Just give me the hot parts of the world. I don't even want America. Give me Africa. I don't want nowhere. Just give me Africa.
Yeah.
Saying, I'll come out of your country, right? Until you give me some money to go back with, right? And get your grimy hands off the diamond mines, the gold mines, all the natural resources. You don't even have to pay me back. And the oil. And you don't even have to pay me back for what you've taken in the previously. Just give me it all back. Take your stinking hands out of Africa, and I'll go back with some money as well. Because
you know
it don't make.
I don't know if you ever heard it, man, but okay, I think that one brother was saying that. I don't want to mention his name over here. He come over here, I talk about him. But he was saying that, you know, it's a lot of people, and I've experienced it. You get a whole lot of times, you get white boys drive by, go back to Africa, you fucking filthy nigga. You know, I'd be like, shit, you know, and for a minute, it used to offend me until I went there. When I went there, I was like, no, motherfucker. I can improve on some shit over here, boy. We'd have a good-ass motherfucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit. But it's like, get over there now. You got to put a dome over this motherfucker to keep motherfuckers out. So, you know, hey. And then not always got to go over the top. I mean, you got to go underground, too, you know, because, you know, these some conniving fuckers that we dealing with in this world now. Right?
It's some nasty, horrible.
Ooh.
I mean, I have to say that these house niggas they're the only ones that we really that are keeping us down. Because I mean, most people know we can't trust the devil.
I mean,
house niggas.
Here's something else, man. All right, there's so much. They got to be making a lot of money on us because over here. Okay, the term food desert here, okay?
Food desert.
Now, check this out, man.
Okay.
And it's a term coming out the federal government, too, now. They didn't put it out there. I mean, I wish I could. I got it in all my literature and stuff, man. I didn't really think I'd go ahead and bring that up. But, this area is where there's like not a grocery store, a real grocery store, for like maybe 5-10 miles away. Damn near. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just like I was saying, I was at the mall, and I started thinking about that. And then I started thinking about, hey, when people come out to certain areas to go to these malls or just go to the grocery store, look how many fucking policemen they fucking go through who want to go ahead and disrupt their fucking lives. Not just for points, but shit, it's for money.
Mm-hmm.
So if I arrest your ass, fuck. you're looking at some overtime there, buddy.
It's true.
It ain't nothing about going, hey, shit, I think that word justice don't fucking exist.
Mm-hmm.
And if they always talk about throwing you in jail, I wonder what happened to another word, rehabilitation.
Yes, there's never been that. The only time they've re-educated, I mean, some countries have had re-education camps, but it was only to make
right.
them have doctrine that they had. They had re-education camps in South Africa. They've had re-education camps in Nazi Germany when Hitler was in power. And they had they have re-education camps today in Russia and China.
Yes, they do. They've had him for a minute.
You don't believe what they believe, boy. And if you keep, if you go there, it's like three strikes. If you keep on going there, they're going to kill you.
Mm. And here's something else I saw. You ain't got no rights when you get into one of them camps in China. I mean, none.
None.
Let me tell you this. They have been, I just found it. I was going through, because I had made some changes to my system. All I did was I just took another, took this hard drive out of my old system and put it into this new one. So I kind of like lost the information. I came across the article that I had been talking a little bit about, and it was mentioning human organs being sold. So again, another market we probably can get into. But anyway, in China, you know, the people get into those camps, shit, they'll just cut out a fucking kidney right away. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll come out and
feel black. Ooh,
and sell
black. Yeah. And black organs go for the most money.
I found that one too. I'm gonna put that together in a minute.
That's a thing that black folk have to be careful of. Like when they go to Israel and places like that. I mean, Israel's got the biggest.
Hold it. You mentioned that, man. You must have read this article, because the article said that the people that were in charge of this getting it. The article was talking about. Them taking organs they're the biggest organ sellers, and the people who were at the top were coming out of Israel, partnering with Europe and the U.S. And I was like, "Ooh, shit, that's wild!" Wow. So you know, we need to really, you know, this is much right now. You know, it's a lot of information. We got ways to go ahead and get information. We got access. We need to go ahead and really pay attention to it. Stop closing your eyes to it. Worrying about, I always go ahead and say this, you know, fantasy and materialism. Because neither one of them are helping us. I mean, it kills me when I see people trying to go ahead and encourage their children to go ahead and go into sports, music, or movies. I feel if you're going to go into that field, you should go ahead. If let's say you're going to music. Shit, you should be the one, you know, because a lot of the music is also, it's like digitalized and everything's coming out of computers. Man, can encourage your kid to go ahead and write their fucking program for that shit. Maybe even more money. Because you can go ahead and come out here, you know, you got your song, rap, whatever. You got your CD, get your song out, it's selling. Shit, your ass will fucking fade in 2 or 3 years. But if you wrote that program, to go ahead and to help with the music and enhance the music, shit, you'll be around for a minute. You'll make much, much more money because you got a lot more people using your product. And that's my thing. I don't see a lot of us getting involved in ways to go ahead and to be entrepreneurs. I kind of confused some of the writings, description of my show, just to get people to go ahead and be curious. But I really think we need more entrepreneurs than we need people out here looking for jobs.
Well, you know, that's why they turn to sports and shit hop, you know, because at the end of the day, it's easier. It looks easy, and it looks fun. When the kids see that, you know, people making money from the music and, you know, selling drugs on the streets, it looks fun, you know. Do you see what I'm trying to say? But, I mean, it isn't fun.
Hold on, wait a minute. That's some dangerous shit. You know what I mean? I think you know about that. I don't think that shit. I see the shit every fucking day. That shit wasn't no. That shit didn't look fun at all. That shit looked dangerous. This is why I'm upset with individuals going ahead and trying to push their kids into movies, because they're pushing them into more fantasy. You know, okay, on TV they get shot today, and this movie then and another one. And these guys go ahead and try and reenact the whole fucking thing on the streets and shit that's in the movies, and they don't fucking last. I remember seeing a video of this guy went in. This black guy went into the Detroit police station with a shotgun and started blasting motherfuckers. I mean, like, what the fuck was he thinking? Whatever the hell was going through his mind, he wasn't coming out of there alive. And it's too much of them fucking movies and all that other bullshit. So... I think this brother Pianchi, I think he's trying to get in. Let me see if I got him right now.
This is Pianchi. I was going to let you in an interesting fact.
Hold on. 214, your line is open.
Hmm.
Let me just leave it open, let me come back. Go ahead, brother.
I was just going to let you in. You know, when we was talking about the organs, you know, like a lot of people say, I mean, Israel's got the highest cases of organ theft. I mean, people literally going to sleep and waking up and feeling, seeing a big scar in their body and they've got a kidney missing.
Okay, before you go on, let me throw this at you. You know they were just shooting rockets back and forth, right?
Yeah.
Well, hey, look, you know, two things about that. One, two things about that. One, we always hear, you know, the justification for Israel shooting off them rockets.
Mm-hmm.
For Israel going in and using just crazy force.
Mm-hmm.
Always hear the justification. And you hear it from the Israelis every fucking time. You're going to hear it. We did this because of this. You know, I'm looking at, and I was going through the major networks here, the major TV news networks here, mm-hmm. and I don't remember seeing that one time where we hear, you know, the other side, why they were shooting off rockets.
Of course not. Of course not.
So,
and, you know,
if I go ahead and look at some of these other channels, like they got like an Al Jazeera channel, I can hear it from them. You got BBC here and a few other channels. Even I saw parts of it in Spanish, and I think it was like, what was it, like Korean? Oh, yeah, then the Indian channel. They were mentioning the other side. It was almost equal coverage, and it was a totally different story from what the fucking Israelis were saying. Israelis, I mean, the Palestinians were saying pretty much they started this.
Yes.
So, and basically a lot of shit that's being shot off was like more or less in retaliation for the treatment of these people. Now, I'm not really a, you know, big supporter of, you know, Arab cats, man. I'm really not, you know, but right is right, wrong is wrong. And I think these Israelis, these so-called Jewish motherfuckers have been doing shit and been involved with shit all around the planet. So that needs to be called out. I used to get into a little discussion with this one cat. He used to always call himself a Jew, so-called Jews, like my buddy always said.
So-called Jew.
Yeah, my buddy always tell me that, these so-called Jews. So,
I like that talk.
So this dude, you know, this dude would always say, "Hey, look, you really an anti-Semite," and he was throwing it at me, always, you anti-Semite. So I didn't really at that time, I didn't really know what the fuck the word meant. So when I found out what the word meant, I was like, "Man, you full of shit," because all it means is basically a language. I mean, you guys just adapted to go ahead, me and you, so that's all the bullshit. It's a common language that people spoke. And then I came across a YouTube video this other chick, she was from Israel, born and raised in Israel. She said, "Hey, look, the Jewish people, the people of the Jewish faith, use that as a trick, as a ploy to go ahead and scare you, to make you feel guilty and shit."
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Here, somebody's got their hand up. Let me go ahead and check this out. It's
804. Hey, wait, I hope it's Sister Tracy. Because Sister Tracy is meant to be doing a show with me on Saturday, but she ain't giving me no answer.
Okay, well, maybe you should go ahead and hug her leg or something and see what the hell.
I'm trying. She ain't giving me no answer, man.
Man, you can't be sticking the nails in it. You got to go ahead and caress it a little bit, man.
Maybe I've got to do that, yeah.
Let's make the juices flow. Hey, 804-289, your line is open. Do you have a question or comment?
Please, Jeff, and,
yes,
hey, Chef. Hey, look, man. No, I just want to add on a bit, right?
Because you got a lot of people over there.
Yeah, every time I hear Brother Matt here, it sounds like he's in a car chase or something.
Go ahead, brother. Add what you got to add, brother. Go ahead. His line's up.
Okay, I got so much I want to say, but that I can pick and choose from, right? I'm gonna ask you this question, but another thing I want to ask you, right? Have you ever heard about the 400 U.S. Marines troops that got killed under sniper fire?
Oh I haven't. That was good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look. Find the time to go to Veterans Today. And you can go to YouTube, put in Gordon Duff. You know, he got a nice account, right? And do that, right? Now, you will see the video. You will see that video of U.S. Marines getting headshots, you know, because some of, you know, they was having the body armor, you know. And they were showing the brothers and things that was hanging out of the tank. They'll get a headshot, and they'll melt right on in, you know, to the body of the tank. Yay.
But brother, can you put the link in the room?
See, I ain't computer savvy, man. I'm just sorry for that, you know, truly. But this Benghazi thing. Now, peep this out. Now, you know who did that?
Tell me about it.
The IDF and the United Arab Emirates did that shit, right? They are mess. Now, just the other day, I saw a documentary piece on YouTube, and it was a bigot. It was about Dimona, right? Yes. See, these bitches, they got this secret weapon. They got enough there where they can blackmail the world any goddamn time they want. They did it last time, Y2K. They blackmailed the whole fucking globe there, you know. But they got that fucking secret weapon. But Gordon Duff said they did that to make Obama look bad. See what I'm saying? Hey, Chef, there's some serious shit going on, right? Now, I wouldn't believe nothing on that TV, right? Because you can look at New York. You got your three major networks right there. That's a recipe for a fucking coup right there.
But brother.
Where do I get to see?
What does it type in? Gordon Duff and what next to it? So I can see about the 400 snipers.
Go to Veterans Today. And then
go
through the archives. You know, he got over 21,000 articles in there. He got a conglomerate of writers. And they doing this shit because they love it. Ain't nobody getting paid nothing. Mr. Gordon Duff is a self-hating Jew, you know. You know, see, this thing is not a Jewish problem in America. It's a fucking white problem. Because, see, everybody wants to be the 12 tribe of Israel, you know. Bullshit off the dickhead, for real. See what I'm saying, Chef?
But brother, what do I have to type in to see the 400 sniper business? I have to see all of them on Veterans Today. Because I want to know where they are. I want to listen and watch this.
Go to Veterans Today, man.
I'm on that
look
site.
Around.
I'm on it now.
All right.
What do I type in to see the 400 snipers? Which one am I looking for?
Just go to Veterans Today.
I've done
it. And go through the archives.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see, look, once you see the headlines, you can know that you got it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you know, a little child can go through that site there, you know.
Hey, brother.
Yes.
Brother, we're going to be talking about the Illuminati on Friday. You going to come? Make sure you come, you know, brother.
Friday, true. But see, it's the Jew. Everything that's going on in this goddamn world is the Jew.
Hey.
It's the Jew. You know, then like I said on another program, see, everybody's saying that Y2K was a this or that. Look, that Jew told the world, goddamn it, if you don't pay for this new plug-in system, I'm going to send your ass all the way back to the Dark Ages. And you know your ass was up in the trees before you went in the cave. Now, you ain't trying to go all the way back like that. See, the Jew can do this type shit. See,
you know,
yes, go ahead.
I want to bring us back a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
It was told to me a while back that, like, a lot of areas, like, you know, the mayor of Chicago, I live in Chicago, the mayor of Chicago is a Jew. That they own a lot of property here.
The Jew came here. I'm at one of the metropolitan cities where they came to when they came from Holland and other little parts of surrounding countries by Holland. When they left that place, they came over here like 1735, 1750, right? And then nobody wanted to mess with them because they know how they was. They couldn't trade with nobody but the indigenous. And they was getting them valuables from them indigenous, carrying that shit over there to Europe, putting it on the market, making a fabulous killing. These people did. I'm telling you, this is what these people did. They took the come up that they were trading from the indigenous and bought fucking boats and other little shit that they got them other white trash and shit that had sense enough to drive a fucking ship over there, you know, boat over there to Africa and shit. But you know what, though, Chef? You know what? The siege came from Egypt. Yeah. So, they can talk this 12 tribe shit all they want to, but get your ass up in Israel and look and see what you see and bring your black ass back down to Luxor and Abu Simbel, and you will see who was the fucking chosen. I mean, Ray Charles can call this shit, right? I went over there for 5 months the first time and came back over here for 6 weeks and went back for another 4 or 5 months. I'll tell you, man. Look, fuck what you heard. I know what I saw with my eyeballs, Shell. You know, niggas need to wake the fuck up, get in front of Merle, and stop saying I hate myself and turn their black ass around from Israel and turn to Egypt with their dumb ass. Look, see, Shell, they so smart. How they saying this? Shit, it's on the tip of my tongue. But they're making a fucking maniac out of themselves. If you pull up Luxor on the fucking YouTube, you'll see everything. If anybody was chosen, it was the Luxor, Egypt, on up to Sudan. If anybody was chosen, I don't see why these black folks biting off this Hebrew shit.
It's more misinformation that a lot of people accept, and they go ahead and then feed into that self-hatred thing. It's sort of like I've been trying to say for the show. It's like we quick to go ahead and pay somebody else to go ahead and keep us down. And we quick to go ahead and believe in some of this other bullshit and go ahead and support keeping us down. You know,
All the shit that they done did to us, mate. It's a wonder we got any kind of good sense. But that's all right. They ain't got all of us, goddammit. They ain't got, because they got them sure ain't got me. But you know what? Niggas keep sitting on their ass, not acting like what they should know. You see what them Palestinians going through, right? If these people be successful, that is what they going to do to the world. See, I'm gonna tell you about America. See, you can take America and cut her ass right there in the middle.
No, brother.
50-50. Uh-huh.
Brother, I just wanted to add on to what you're saying, brother. So, that, you know, everything that he says is spot on, you know, because the Queen of England, she is she's Jew as well.
And see, they saying they the people of the book. This shit is crazy. It's all mythological. And I'm not saying that to make myself sound intelligent or something. I'm just average type niggas, you know?
Yeah. World War One, World War Two.
They ain't shit. They need to cut their ass in Egypt and they will see everything. Abu Rosh. I mean, that's a pyramid. I call that something the drop top convertible. And when you pull up off the Cairo airport, you'll pull up on it. Won't nobody be out there. Nothing but rich fucking ancient royalty. No God boots, no gods. You ain't got to pay nobody to see a goddamn thing. That's not for the Giza Plateau. This shit that I saw with my eyes. I saw Saqqara, Badoon. I done saw it all, right? They can't tell me nothing about no goddamn Hebrew and that Bible and that Quran. Niggas got to say supreme. Them niggas retarded. They wouldn't listen to Doc Malachi, see y'all, and they wouldn't listen to other black people.
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
You ain't no goddamn Hebrew.
No doubt. That's
so your
that's
ass from Egypt, nigga. They snatched your ass up from Egypt. From
that's,
that, we went anywhere. It wasn't no fucking Israel.
That's some white Arab religion.
Exactly. Hey, Chef, and you see them Arabs, they ain't but the other half of the other fucking Jews. That's like this dude, Marcy.
Hold on. You know, I kind of felt that same way my whole life.
What's that? Yes. You know.
The
all that shit is against us, Chef. You know, they the one that came up against us when we was in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all went down there. I mean, hey, Chef, man, I'm telling you, as soon as you fly in, I would tell you, fly in to Cairo and catch the train on upward. And just see everything. Just see it. Look, on one of my rides, I met some black Egyptian cadets, you know, little teenage boys. And they asked dude ass, yo, can I sit right here? You know. Hey, man, I was like next to them people, man. Same fucking people, man. You know. But some of them said they was from, you know, they could trace their shit back from Saudi or, you know, Saudi Arabia, you know, and Sudan and shit, you know. But it's the Jew. See this Jew, it's one half of this white America, they indoctrinated on this Judaism, you know, this Jewish, you know, Hebrew shit. I mean, white folks, they done sold out to that shit. But you got the other half of white America ready to pounce on that shit. You know, you know about the USS Liberty, right?
Right. There was about, you know what Kofi was saying about the Quran and the Jew thing. There was 14 writers of the Quran, right? And the last two writers to have been written the Quran was Al-Harif and another one called Mark Yarik. Which they were both Jewish rabbis. The last two had their hand in the Quran. Those are the law. I'm just waiting to debate a Muslim Orthodox about that.
Hey, hold on, brothers. Brother Pianki, you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, I said, it's funny y'all was talking about the Egypt. I just went out tonight and bought a new digital camera. And I had found some those little flash sticks, you know.
Right.
And I had three of them here, and I put them in there, and lo and behold, it was some pictures that I had taken when I was in Egypt and also Ethiopia.
Mm.
And the brother mentioned something about the Jews, or shall I say Hebrews. And I have a whole lot of pictures here when I was in Gondor, there with the Better Israelites. So I'm glad I bought this camera. Now I can know what the hell's on these sticks.
What's on those sticks, Sam?
Hey, so you said it was Hebrews, right?
Yeah, this is in Gondor. This is Better Israel. Better
Israel. I'm going to tell you, see, all that shit didn't come amongst us, Tepo, because Walter Winsky came you right into it. They came. Walter Williams said they came to Ethiopia for the first time, like 1870 something, you know. From that period on, they was infiltrating they little sphere of Judaism. But before them white folks came messing with those people in Ethiopia, we ain't no shit about no damn Hebrewism. Tell you, Pianki, you know, that ain't got nothing to do with us. Nothing.
I agree.
That belongs to them
white
folks.
It does have something to do with us because in the 8th century B.C., Shebeko and Shabaka went and defeated the Assyrians as they were getting ready to come down upon the those people there in Jerusalem. And that's historical. Taharqa didn't
Well, what connection
is that? Did let them come down into what's now called Aswan and resides there on Bega Island, which is there today. Before they went on down to Gondor, Ethiopia.
But the Jewish Hebrew is.
This was before in the Jews. See, there's a difference between Jews and what y'all call Hebrews.
No, I know there's black Jews. I know there's black Jews.
No, it was no black Jews. Yah was this image. Those people that created this god Yah for themselves. Yah was a local god of no importance, and this battle occurred about 400 years before Judaism even came into existence. And if it's... Pardon me?
I said pure history.
Yeah, this is history.
Yeah.
I mean, these wars went on about 400 years before Judaism even came into existence. It wasn't no Judaism, it was Judaism, I-U, which was, of course, before Christianity, which, of course, was before Islam. If it hadn't been for that war, where the Cushites defeated the Assyrians, there would never have been a Judaism, because they would have destroyed those people who had created this Yah for themselves. If it wasn't no Yah out of the first five books, there wouldn't have been no Judaism, which, of course, wouldn't have been a Christianity, and probably wouldn't have been no Islam.
And true. And you know something else, Tiyanka? It's so much that went on.
No, but the Jews
that we don't even really, you know,
the Jews studied us the Moors. I'm going to say to Pianki, the Jews studied from the Moors. Everything that they got was from the Moors and the Ethiopia, because they took them in. You understand? The white Jews.
Well, I have my, you know,
their
I hear people talk about Moors was no, you know, Moors was like a, there was no Pacific, no ethnic group of no Moors. Moors was joined on by many different ethnic groups.
Yes. Arabs and the Berber Moors. But I would say
Berbers, Berbers.
The Jews got what can I say? They got most of their knowledge and most of their teachings when they were in Spain with the Moors.
Right. What country are you from?
I'm from Britain, and I've studied.
You're from Britain. Okay, you were born in Britain, right?
Yes, sir, yes. I've been to Spain.
All right, now, if you joined the Marines, the Marines next Wednesday, you still Britain, but you were part of the Marines. So all of a sudden now everything written about you and that you contributed to, you are part of the Marines, but you still Britain. So that's the same thing it was with these Moors. People joined on to this and became... You know, they might have been something else. They may have some specific ethnic identity, but they joined on. That's the same thing with the...
Well, all I'm saying is that, because you said that there probably wouldn't be these religions if it weren't for them. I mean, the Moors strengthened the Catholicism. They strengthened that. They built most of those cathedrals that they have in Spain, in Granada.
Yeah, you're right.
And they built lights. They civilized. If you see... How many mansions, how many baths there are in Cordoba in Spain? You know, and they had street lamps for like five, six miles that were all built by the Moors. You know what I mean? So,
Do
you live in Germany, my brother? So I think you say you live in Germany, right? I've heard you before.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I ain't never been in Germany.
Okay.
But, you know, that history that you're talking about, I don't have no expertise on that, but I just know, you know, in discovering other things, you run across this, that, and the other.
Mm.
And you either stay there for a while or just keep on going. But
the Jews are thieves. And because of the thorough knowledge that...
I ain't arguing with you on that.
Yeah. Because all the schools in Europe, the oldest school in Europe was built by the Moors. That was the school in Salamanca. They built Oxford University, Eton University, Cambridge University, the University of Bologna, the ones in France, Marseille, and other ones, and Germany as well. They taught them classical music, and the Jews, because the Jews were like the Jews were the Moors' right hand man. You know, they were right next to the Jews when they were doing everything that they were doing.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I think that Israel's got some problems. I think the United States getting ready to dump her. I don't have no need for it no more.
And then
you can look at it like this, Piyaki. You know, it still just might be a strategy, you know, because, you know, Israel, this what I see, right? They putting themselves in a position where polar Israel can't defend themselves, but the fish got the secret weapon at the same time. That's like that 6-day walk. Oh, I'm gonna ask you this thing. Look, you remember that UFO they had over top of Kentucky and Arkansas earlier? Stayed up in the air half a day. It long, they say.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, this was about a month and a half ago. It wasn't no UFO. It was a junk they call the rituals. You know, long lasting dirigibles, you know, and dudes say that shit belongs to the Navy at $10 billion a watt, you know, that dudes say it won't nothing but a surveillance piece of you know equipment. Yes, you know, but that what that was. It made headlines everywhere. I don't know how you managed to miss that one, you know. Yes, just blowing up there all day.
When was that?
This was like a month and a half ago. You can pull it up. If you can put the right catchword in, right? Yeah. Old long cylinder, you know, glowing and everything. But see, dude, Richard Dolan, you know, that's why I like him, because everything, matter of fact, he was just talking about it. I heard it from two different people, you know. No fucking dirigible, but we think it's, you know, UFO. But that's like that 6-day walk when the Jews took it beat the earth. They did magical shit on them people back, because I'm telling you, if you can remember, you old enough to, you know, remember. Them Earls, man, they drop their guns. If the fucking Jeeps and shit won't move it fast enough, they got out there and ran home. But them Jews was fucking with that NASA blue bean shit.
Well, they wouldn't be damn thing if they didn't have the United States helping it.
No shit.
United States and the U.S. is broke. U.S. is about like a broke dick dog. They just don't realize it yet. So that's why they're pulling off. And they don't have no. Well, one reason they broke, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan broke the hell out of the U.S. to the tune of damn near $4.5 trillion. And then again,
you don't lost in wars.
So what you need them for?
Pianchi, hold on. The U.S. can't be totally, I mean, the U.S. government may be broke, but look at, you know, that the war, where'd that money go here and go to? A lot of that money went to defense contractors, didn't it?
Well, no, people been stealing.
I saw this thing where they had like the U.S. dollars, $80 million on a goddamn pallet, and they had lost that. And there was a lot more times that they had lost money because they was handing money out to go ahead and some people can stop doing shit. Handing them dollars.
Hey, look, they be stealing and taking from America. It's crazy. Look, right here in Richmond, like over $40 billion where George Bush and been loaning to the Federal Reserve. I mean, earning interest off money they done took from the Leo Walter. I don't know why I went there. But they be taking money crazy. They taking money from America like crazy. It's stupid crazy.
The Americans are the ones that's stupid.
You gotta understand, brother, that is that our country controls your country, you know, which is controlled by Jews, you know. And our country controls yours, and you are the big bad son or big bad daughter of Britain, you know. You see what I'm trying to say? British white people, they ain't got no respect for Americans. They see you guys as jokes, and you know the white people folk over there. Remember, it was a pineal.
Wait! Hold on! Back up, brother. Hold on, back up. You said British white people see America as a joke.
Yeah.
I want you to stay on that and show us. Give us some examples of how British white people think America is a joke. They think all Americans, all people living over here, or just white America, or just the ideology. What is? Break it all down.
Everything. You know the way the dress code, the culture. They make jokes like "What's up" to us. We could have a job, and they make jokes. You know, they would love to say the word "nigger." You know, they laugh at the music. You know, like they take the piss. Like they go, "What's up, man?" And then they do all these hand signs and take the piss out of black folk who are trying to make a living and do a decent day. You know, a woman said, "What's up, my nigga?" An Asian woman, and I went mad and I destroyed the whole shop. You know, because I've got anger problems.
What do you wait. Stop. Okay, because we go over here, see, that race thing again. We had a little discussion about that, remember? You saying an Asian woman, with Chinese, Japanese.
Well, she was Asian, and what is it? I'm a passive aggressive. I've been known to be a passive aggressive, and every day she used to make little jokes like.
Wait a minute, brother. Hold on. What I'm saying is, it seems to be, you know, what I've been noticing, it seems to be a difference from them people and then when you go ahead and deal with Pakistanis and Indians. So you said Asian, you know, what was it, Chinese, Japanese?
Indian.
Yeah, because that's what a lot of people get now over here. We get that image that, oh, you talking about them, because a lot of times they don't refer to Indians over here as Asian, not out front.
Yes.
Asians, I mean, Indians, Filipinos, Asians too.
But a lot of people don't. What I've noticed is a lot of people over here don't really recognize, don't really see it that way. They see some people see Indians as totally different from those people they call in Asians. But on the you know, how this whole that word racism, when they classifying and putting people in different categories, under that definition, Indians and Pakistanis and all them are included.
What the fuck? Well, yeah, Pakistan is in East Asia. Man, these Americans don't know what you think. Black folks don't know what the heck's going on. Some of these white folks ain't got no damn sense neither.
Oh, yeah, well, they're in control of the system. Everything's all good for them. Not enough for them, you know. When they kick the third world, you soon see them going nuts. They're going to lead the struggle. When they brought down America and Britain to the third world, look at Spain. You've got old folk going straight outside the parliament building and shooting themselves in their head because they're going to take half their pension away from them.
Wow,
and
really?
Effectively, yeah, in Spain, because of the austerity cuts. And that effectively means that they might have to get a job because their mortgages may not be paid for.
Well, you know, they had things jacked up in Spain anyway. I don't know how. And the same thing's going to happen here in the U.S. just a matter of time.
And Britain as well. Every one of these countries, they're not gonna stop until they bring it down to third world. Now, black folk can handle that, but white folk can't. We're used to living in the shit. I mean, this is better than slavery. Let's face facts. This is better than slavery. Your wife ain't getting raped, yeah? Your kids ain't getting raped at will. So, you know. We've got comfortable sucking off the white man's titty.
Oh, man, you're right. They ain't gonna know. A lot of motherfuckers ain't gonna know how to handle that. Like, oh, shit, no.
That's what I'm waiting for. The revolution will be when the white man's ready. Simple as that. When the rest of them get pissed off and the more of them get poor, you watch how they start going on. You watch. Especially in America, these people don't even want to give up their guns. I used to listen to a lot of Alex Jones. And Alex Jones was saying, look, you're going to come to my house and get my guns or come to outside my house with any beef, I'm going to shoot you on the spot. You know, that's how I hear Alex Jones talking. So, you know, he's rallying. He's getting these devils prepared. You understand?
Hey, now peep this out. Alex Jones, he incite white as I know how they are succeeding from the jump. They don't really know what they're doing. There might be some consequences to that. But now that's like Obama now. When Duff put the question to one of these neocons, right? He asked one of them, you know, who was the most pro-gun president that you had in a long time? The white boy said Reagan. No, dude said no. Said Obama, you know, the man let you buy all the guns, you know, but yet still, he come in and take them.
You know, I'm gonna ask you guys. You know, okay, let me ask you guys. Let me make a comment. Then I'm gonna ask a question. You know, right after the election, I want to take us away a little bit off topic for a minute. Right after the election, I kept saying like, yeah, okay, then that might be something good. Then it didn't hit me. And something Obama said in his acceptance speech and whatever the fuck you want to call it, you know, it's, you know, let anybody know he won. He said, if you work in America, you know, if you work hard in America, you know, you can make it. And then I was like, I mean, how much harder does a slave have to work? I mean, shit.
Exactly.
That shit was kind of fucked me. I was like,
What black folk has to understand? Sorry for cutting you, my brother, but this guy.
Yeah, hold on, but let me say this real quick. That bothered me, and I kept saying that, man. Maybe, you know, wait a minute, you know, maybe I need to step back a little bit and reassess this shit here. And I kept saying, you know what? Mitt Romney should have won. Mitt Romney should have won. Fuck what you think about it, because you know.
Because it definitely
was. Hold on, it would have made a whole lot of people think, because all the shit that Mitt Romney was saying he was gonna do, and your black ass would have been out.
Oh,
well, you know, the only reason I was scared, I didn't like Mitt Romney. I didn't vote for either one of them. I voted for the New Mexico. I voted for Johnson, the Libertarian. But Romney and his war mongling, man. Romney would have had us fighting the New York Giants.
Yep, and China.
It was all over.
And China. He wanted to spank.
He's talking about
China.
adding $1 trillion to the military.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Hey, but okay, well, check this out. So he go ahead, and he was going ahead, and he want to increase the military, and then start these fucking wars. They was gonna bring back the draft.
That's the only way. That's the only way.
Tell me that draft wasn't gonna come back, and then who's gonna be the primary people jumping into it? I'm telling you, see, that's another reason I said that Mitt Romney should have won, so you go ahead, you fight this shit, and go ahead, unite, and get together and do something for yourselves. Fuck all that other bullshit.
Did the devil do the devil what?
You got to go ahead, and it got to hit fucking rock bottom before you start doing shit.
That's right.
Before you start recognizing, hey, look, it's a fucking problem.
Well,
I know somebody.
But it's going to hit rock bottom with Obama, given time.
Brother, I don't think
it's gonna be as bad, but it would have been real worse right away for black people with Mitt Romney,
Now, it'd be better. I think it'd be worse with Obama, cause then we can always say, well, that's what you put on your plate.
But brothers, Obama's proved to be a liar from the day he got into power, because he said he was gonna stop the war within a week. He was gonna stop the war before he got elected. He was saying that he's going to stop the war straight away. When he got in power, he said 6 weeks. Then he said 3 months. Then he said 6 months. Then he said a year. Then he said 18 months. Then he said indefinitely. So the man's just a straight up liar anyway. And we've got to remember, family, and a lot of black people miss this out. This guy is just a chess piece on the board. I heard the great Fernand Law saying this. He's just a chess piece on the board. He's a queen. He can go places where nobody has gone before.
Well, you know, I want to ask you a question. Why in the hell is Britain still hanging on to the Falkland Islands? It takes a whole week to sail down there to that part of the world.
It's got money down there. All these
people
have got lots of natural resources. They got oil. They got they got lithium. They've got trees. You know, there's a lot of things you can suck off Argentina. Argentina ain't no broke ass. It's not like they've got things. Every third world country's got something.
It takes a week for Britain to sail ships down to that part of the world.
Look, it's over there, it's also real choppy waters at that point. So it ain't real easy to get there. Flying there is better. But, you know, why is Britain in any fucking place? Okay? There's a big influence in the Caribbean, too, man. So, fuck all that.
Yeah, especially where that girl got killed. No, that was Norway where that girl got killed, wasn't it?
What girl? No, I don't know about that.
That girl that was on Prime or something.
Oh, no,
Summer
that was...
Break.
That wasn't no... Oh, you talking about that little white girl they keep showing all the time on Fox? I can't remember her name at the moment, but I remember her face, man. She got killed in Aruba.
Aruba, that's Norway's possession, eh?
Oh, really?
Aruba. No, Aruba's under Dutch. That's under
Dutch.
Oh, right, Dutch, you're right.
Yeah, because I thought they spoke... You know, kind of funny. Sound like that Afrikaans kind of shit. You know, hey, brothers, while I got people on the line, you know, let me ask you a question because I want to get back to a little bit to my topic for a minute. What do you think would be a good product or service, you know, in a lot of black communities that we should go ahead and work on?
Them school lunches.
That would be great. That would be great. I think after school programs.
Hold on. So, Brother Pianchi, how would you go about it? Where would you start?
Well, you got to go in there and find out what their budget is first. You got to go to the school board and find out what they're paying these companies for.
The devil. The devil don't want this. Devil fund you for a year and then kick you in and stop it.
You know what?
That's the school budget. Every time a child stays in their seat until 11:30 in the morning, then X number of dollar goes to that school building.
How do you get into that game?
You have to talk to a board member. I talked to a board member, then you just start doing the arithmetic, start putting your things together.
Okay, so you put
many of them are open for it.
You put your plan together, but so how do you get them to accept the plan?
Board has to vote on it.
So they don't accept your plan, so what do we do next?
You got to get board, you got to get activism. You can't go in there by yourself.
Okay, so in the meantime, my bills are piling up. So what do I do next?
You know, this is just like any other business venture. But you
okay, so I keep
activism.
On relying on the. Hold on, Pianchi. So I keep on relying on this board to accept me. So how am I going to go ahead and pay my bills? In the meantime, I need to worry about doing something else. Right or wrong?
Yes.
Well, you know, you yourself, normally when these things are thought out, people don't depend on something that they ain't got. I mean, like, you know the old saying, a bird in a hand is worth two in the bush.
Yes, sir.
Well, your birds are in the bush right now. You ain't got nothing in the hand.
Okay,
I got an idea.
Formulate a plan because I'm in the food business, so this is up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
I got to formulate this plan to go ahead and take to the school board. They don't accept me. I got to go ahead and go through their meetings. They ain't having any meetings every
here.
Day,
it's not. It's more than that. The ultimate thing is about putting people in the neighborhood back to work rather than sending this money over, spending this money with these foreign companies where they taking that money back home, putting their own people to work.
So
that's
I got to get the plan typed up. So how do I pay for the ink? How do I play to keep the lights on? How do I go ahead if I got to email it? If I got to go, how do I keep that on and I'm waiting for the board to
accept? But I can't tell you about that now.
You know what I would do?
I ain't never had no problem where I didn't have no lights on.
You know what I would do, brother? I would like, I would just try and do that myself, you know. You could probably maybe try and do it through as a non-profit organization, you know, get other businesses to sponsor you, you know, or you could just try and get a group of the family who are concerned about their kids in your local area because be all over the place.
What you're going to have to do is provide the food. I mean, you from the position. See, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that in the African-American community, in their school districts, they need to be controlling that cafeteria.
I understand.
You need to have people that's in the community, women, cooking in the cafeteria, and the stuff that they're cooking should be locally grown. You got to figure out how you can provide what it is that they're going to be cooking.
But still, bro,
and, you know, they're not going to exclusively go to you. It's going to be a competitive process that they, by law, they have to go by.
Brother Pianki, that's almost like I'm anticipating that they're going to accept me for real. Like, they're going to go ahead, I know they're going to get my proposal, and they're going to accept me, and I'm going to get paid right away. So while I'm waiting for them to go ahead and process it, because this ain't no, I give you the paperwork in the morning, 9 o'clock, and they go ahead and approve me by 5 o'clock, all right?
No, it has to be done at a board meeting.
Exactly. So it may be a series of meetings, like I'm saying. And during that time, how do I pay my bill?
Brother, I don't know how you would pay your bill, but, you know, here in St. Louis, I must have built about 13 schools.
But you're looking at it from I'm tell you from this other side, Brother Pianki. Okay, I'm trying to tell you from the other side.
Let's forget about that. Let's see what you got in mind on doing.
What I'm saying is I'm trying to get ideas. I got some stuff in mind. I'll say that in a minute. But what I'm saying is how does a person who doesn't have much go ahead and get established? If the jobs that I had wasn't paying nothing, I'm only going ahead and paying the stuff to keep my roof over my head and keep the lights on and maybe keep my phone, some gas in my car, and to keep a car, you know.
After I pay my bills, I would say you need to go get you a job, man.
See that? That's the part I'm trying to avoid. And that's what I'm trying to go ahead and trying to get you to see that.
Because you cannot start a business unless you got some money.
See, having that job is going ahead and kept you that it would go ahead in that same fucking rut. I'm trying to go ahead and get you
now
to see
you
that.
Now you can work your job and come run your business and get it started, but you got to have a job in order to have the cash flow in order to front your business.
So I got a little bit of cash after I pay my bills and I'll budget my stuff to the penny. And I look at my bills and I got $30 left over for the month. How fucking long are you going to go ahead and build a business
Look like you ain't going to be no business person then.
No, but we got people in that situation is what I'm trying to get you to see. And I know a lot of people don't want to be in that situation. They love to have their own business. But that's where they're at. See what I'm saying now?
Yeah, but, you know, the things I be talking about, I'm talking about business people that's already in existence.
Brother, I'll
talk about that. So I want you to go ahead and help me with this, Brother Pianki, because I know you can. How do people who don't have that? Give us some ideas on how to go ahead and get something else where we can go ahead. I can take that $30 a month. Show me a little something where I can maybe go ahead and turn that into maybe $300 a month, and I'm still working. Is there some other way?
I can give you an idea.
Okay.
I mean, I would say, the best business out here in this day and age, in this time that we're living in, is to have, we've got something called cash converters, right? Where you can I think the best thing to do is sell things, buy things, secondhand goods, and sell them back. I think that's going to be the most profitable business out here. And give people short-term loans based on their wages, because we've got a shop called Cash Converters, and that's the business that I'm trying to bring together, are cash converters. Like, we buy jewellery, we buy electronic goods, and we give people short-term loans, you know, based on their income. You know, they've got to be working for me to even do that. And, you know, people can bring their TVs, they might want me to hold it for a certain amount of time, and I'll hold it, and they pay me back the money plus a little extra on top. You know, that's the best business to do out here right now.
Okay,
You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? That for me is the best business. And you can make a good, what can I say? You'll make a good profit. And if you can get even a bigger building, buy furniture as well, sell them back, anything. You know, I'm looking to have a second shop where I'm going to be buying more things. That I want to get one big enough so I can buy furniture and sell them back. You know, people want to sell me a bed if it's in decent condition. I have it in my shop and I'll sell it. I'll buy it.
Where are you getting these raw materials from? How are you getting really started again?
No, because of the recession, people. No, I need 10,000 pounds, 15 to 10 grand.
Okay,
that's
so like I said again,
but you need a
you're
job
not getting
start.
Enough money. And how do you get? How would I convince you the best way to go ahead and give me your money? Because that's what you're gonna be doing. Because a lot of people ain't gonna go ahead and trust you. You're gonna be like, oh no, motherfucker, I can go ahead and put this on a, you know. On that
well, another way you can make some money is become a go to the auction and buy cars. Find you a buyer.
Great business.
Buyer and go buy the car.
Yes, yes, and put them on
make
the.
Money that way.
That's a great idea. That is. That's a great idea.
That's the way them Africans do when they come over here. They start generating cash flow like that.
Yeah, but you know, and you know, it's deeper than that, though. They, you know, they sticking together for a purpose.
No, but you can only have four people, three to four people on your on your list who's allowed
you know
to go and bid on cars under you.
You know, they got hookups to go ahead and get, and that three or four people is tied to this next group, is another three or four people, this tied to the next group, is another
no,
three.
No, they can only be tied to one. So if you got, you know, most states, you got to have a lot. Highway Patrol going to come out and check all this stuff. You got to find somebody to work with and become a, and ask them, can you be on their, you know,
see, that is
list.
Again, Brother Bucky. See, we asked him, but we're. You know,
well, you know, you got, like I say, man, you got folks come from six time zones away that's doing it, making money.
Well, how do I get them over here to go here? They coming away from far lands, far off, coming over here and they uniting.
They ain't coming over here with no, they not coming over with no suitcases full of money.
I know that.
They ain't get
your customers that.
Like that.
I know that. But they go ahead and hook up, and they go ahead and they support themselves. How do we go ahead and get us to support ourselves?
So what you got to do is find somebody. You got to find somebody who's needing a car and say, you're going to have to go out there to the auction place and get a bid list. You go online and become go online and get your access code. It'll let you go on the Mayhem and ABC, places like that. You can go on their website. You can see what's coming up for the next bid. You can start showing that to individuals who's looking for cars and say, is this something you like to have? You're going to have to do
I can't afford no
research
car. What I'm going to try to do is go to some parts and go ahead and get the car parts. You still need that shit, don't you?
Well, I don't know much about no car parts.
No,
I know a little bit how to operate.
You always need them extra parts. You can tell me your car don't break down, they got to go and replace it, place the parts in it?
Yeah, well, I go to AutoZone.
I want to get it. And if I can go ahead and pull it out of some old wrecks and go ahead and tell you, hey, look, I shined it off and then maybe painted it and put some varnish or something on it, some kind of glossy stuff on it. And I say, hey, I refurbished it. That's a business, ain't it?
Yeah, but these guys making a lot of money on them damn cars. They also make money on them knockoffs.
But see, my
knockoffs
whole,
good.
My whole point is going back to Cat, who's only going ahead and got $30 at the end of the month after he done budgeted his shit. That's it.
You have to wait for about 10 months, man, until you get about $300.
That's what I'm saying. How do I get that $300? I got to wait a lot longer while that boss talking all that bullshit to me, while the motherfucker next to me sabotaging my work, while every damn time I got to go ahead and I go to work.
You just gonna have to, you just going to have to grin and bear it until you save up some money.
Well, that's the only way. But I mean, it's hard to get black folk because we've been hustled so much by our own people. Look at Farrakhan. I mean, the man had a million man march, and all he was doing is bringing round the collection box four times. That man must have made well over 20 million. for that day? Because I know people weren't putting in no dollar bills in that. People putting in $10 bills every time that shit came around. You understand? And he never did a damn thing with it. He's showing pictures of farms and that. He's fished in a cavity bag.
Let me say something, because somebody brought this up to my attention. And I think it was part of let me see if I can find this. It was kind of amazing what he said. Now, I seen something in my chat room that I wanted to try to, and it's when we say back by black, I agree with that. But when you buy from another black person, they got to be on the same fucking page as you.
Yes.
They got to go ahead and put stuff in. You know, they got to recognize that, hey, look, you know, this person, you know, this brother go ahead and bought from me. I got to buy from another black person. Buy some other black people. I seen fuckers here. Oh, one of my friend's brothers. Man, this goddamn bastard, man. I just got some issues with him, okay? Some of the stuff he done and some of the stuff I see him do with his shop. So he all about going ahead and raping and robbing the community, man. He don't give a damn. But I really think that we need to go ahead and look at some of these people out here that say, go ahead, we're going to go ahead and support black business. Just support black businesses and do as much as you can, but you got to go ahead and pay attention to where that black business is spending their money. Mm-hmm. You play this real fast.
Hey, Chef. Hey.
And so this morning, in the time.
What's that, brother?
Black people hurt real bad here in Richmond. We is hurt.
Oh, I know that. You know, let me do this one real quick. Hold on.
And so this morning, and the time has been allotted to me, I want to talk to you, as I said, like Geronimo, but I want to be like the great European philosopher Diogenes, who walked through life with a lantern in his hand, saying, I want to lighten the darkness because I'm in search of an honest man. But like Diogenes, I want to walk through this temple and through Black America with a new movement I'm trying to create. I want to find not necessarily an honest man. I want to find some black people and some white people that understand the problems in America. I want to find somebody that understands in America that, contrary to popular myth, black folk are not progressing in America. Black people are going backwards. In comparative proportional terms, black people in America, where you were in 1850 in this country, you have not progressed. You're still in your same dilemma, contrary to anybody tells you. And you see, I want to find, like Diogenes, I want to find a black person that understands that black folk are not progressing. But more importantly, I want to find somebody, black or white, that don't mind being black and want to talk about the racial problem in this society. I can't even find that with my lantern in life. We got three or four major black organizations in America. Three. The Urban League, NAACP, the Rainbow Coalition, and one other one. I can't even get them to focus on the issue of black folk. One wants to take care of cultural diversity. One wants to be talking about multiculturalism. One wants to talk about minority issues. The other wants to talk about oppressed people. And I asked them across the country, why don't somebody talk about black folk and the problems of black people? And so I'm looking, like Diogenes, for a person that understands the history of this country, because I want to understand the problem in America. And the problem is not what you all have been taught. The problem is not poverty. It is not unemployment. It is not unwed teenage parents. It is not food stamps. It's not public housing. It is not drug abuse. Black people only got two problems in America. The first problem is that you've been systematically locked into the lowest level of a real-life monopoly game. That's your major problem. And that's what Dr. Price directly and indirectly is telling you about every Sunday morning. You have been locked into a no-win situation. That means that all the wealth and power in this country has been skewed over 400 years systematically into the hands of the majority white society. Black people don't own a significant amount of anything to be able to control their lives. Whites in America right now control almost 100% of all the income, the wealth, the power, the resources, the businesses, the privileges, and all levels of government. You cannot compete. And I'm tired of hearing people telling black folk, why don't you compete? Compete with what? What are you going to compete with? They keep saying, well, black folk can run fast and jump higher. That won't make it. It won't make it. And let me tell you what monopoly is. Monopoly means that all the wealth and power has been skewed based on skin color, going white, yellow, brown, black. And if you've never played the game of Monopoly, let me show you how it's played. I play it every year at my family. It means that everybody, when you sit down, you're given a certain amount of money and wealth. Black people never got their 40 acres and a mule. Now we're playing this game of Monopoly. And let's pretend for a second in this auditorium that whites got $1,000 to play the game of Monopoly. Asians got $500. Hispanics got $300. Indian got $100. And blacks got $50 to play the game of Monopoly. Now, never having gotten your 40 acres of mule, you don't own any land. You don't own any land. And if you don't have the money, you can't put in the houses and the hotels on the land if you got lucky and had some. Now, when you roll the dice in our hypothetical game of Monopoly, and you roll the dice and your number comes up on the wrong piece of property, what happens to you? You must either go bankrupt or go to jail. And that's the Monopoly game that black folk are locked into. And when that happens to you in life, when you only got two alternatives in life to either go bankrupt or go to jail, that is called an underclass. And black people in America are systematically being forced into a permanent underclass. We will be a permanent underclass by the year 2013. And you got about a 2.5 year window left. If we don't do some very specific things and start to come up with some very cogent strategies, comprehensive strategies of doing some things to focus on that number one problem of redistributing the wealth and power back into the hands of black folk, you can hang it up. Don't worry anymore about retiring after the next 2 or 3 years. Don't worry anymore about going to college. It ain't going to work. The doors are going to slam shut on black folk. And what I'm telling you right now is we're going to have to get it together fast. And to do it, you must first understand what I'm going to be telling you this morning. And my speech is going to be divided into three parts. I'm first going to tell you about the problems of black America realistically. As Cochise and Geronimo said, I'm going to give you the truth about the current state of black America, point one. Two, I'm going to analyze it for you. And three, I'm going to give you the solutions that we can do together to come out of it. Okay? Now, we got a very serious problem in that Monopoly game. We're going to have a converging forces, social forces coming across this country. About eight major forces are going to push us into that understructure and that underclass position. And let me talk about three or four of them right quick. First thing, across this country, you're going to have an increasing amount of conservatism. Now, I want you all to understand up front what conservatism means. So I don't care whoever uses that word, you know what it means. Conservatism is a new code word for anti-blackism. Okay? Except now, a conservative can stand right in your face and call you, tell you, and confess that he's a conservative, which means he is a racist and not tell you he's a racist. Racism right now, we got racism all over America, and I can't find one racist. And what I'm telling you right now, before my book even hit the market, I'd already predicted in my book that you're going to have a cutback in welfare. I predicted in my book they're going to catch people like in Texaco, and they just caught Avis discriminating against blacks in North Carolina, South Carolina, and they just caught Circuit City, Sam's, Walmart. I knew they were going to try to cut out the single amendment district. I knew they're going to go after affirmative action. I knew there were going to be riots all over this country that are coming. I talked about this a long time ago in the book, because that's what conservatism means. Conservatism comes from the root word to conserve. To conserve means to hold on to what you've got, or those who ain't got, as my mother said, a third grade deaf education, you ain't going to get. That's what conservatism means. And it means nothing else. It means maintain the status quo. It means use every device that you have to give the pretense that what you see is normal. And right now there's a conservative move in this country going from the White House across this land to the Congress that says whatever exists all over this nation and in Los Angeles is normal. They want you to believe that it's normal to go out in Los Angeles and see all the drug abuse and all the crime, all the poverty, and all the suffering of black folks lying and sleeping on the streets, drugged out, doped out. They want you to believe that's normal. That's what conservatism means, maintain the status quo. It also means to reinstitute white authority, white values, so you hear them talk about family values and all these other kind of things, and also white superiority. So when people start talking about they want to go back and be a conservative, you ask them, what are you trying to conserve? When my people don't own anything and you own 100%, what have I got to conserve? When you hear blacks going around screaming about they're a black conservative, you ask them, what are you conserving? Tell me one point in history that you found something that you want to conserve. Don't let people run that game on you about being a conservative. You tell them, say, fine, if you want to, tell me what are you conserving? And when my people never had anything, what are they? Why would they want to be a conservative? So the biggest problem we're going to have is conservatism when it goes across this nation. And we as black folk got to understand. Now, it's not all whites that are conservatives. There is an element that's got everything that want to make that. It's the greed over need. They want to hold on to everything. And so, and we're going to have a massive flow. Everybody's going to be talking about conservatism. You're going to see people politically switching, talking about they're moving to the far right. And what we have to do is understand that, and that's going to create major problems in this country. One, you're going to, not only will you see an increasing amount of negative hostility towards black folk, every piece of research in the country tells us that, even from the Jewish organizations, that you're going to see more anti-blackness now and in the future than you've ever seen in the last 60 years since you left the civil rights movement. Two, you're going to see, we see organizations all over the country now, paramilitary groups, Aryan groups, Vipers, Free Man, Skinhead, Baldhead, all kind of groups that are organizing and optimistically expecting and anticipating a major clash in this country between blacks and whites. We've had 28 states in the United States now to pass concealed weapons laws. That's specifically so some of the white contingency groups can carry weapons and arms at all times. That's why you have such a major thrust in the National Rifle Association. That's why they're controlling most of your politicians. That's why you have such a major anti-governmental effort in this country. You hear people say, we want to go back to states' rights. We're anti-government. We want to get rid of the federal government. It's not that they're against government. They know that in history, the only people who've ever saved black folk has been the government, twice, the federal government. And if you eliminate the federal government by downsizing the government, black folk no longer have an ally. And if a clash occurs, you got nobody to come to the rescue a third time to help you. You see, you were pulled out of slavery by the federal government. You were pulled out of Jim Crowism by the federal government. There are contingencies in the country that says the next time there won't be a federal government to pull blacks out. And you hear them talk about their anti-government. That's what they're talking about. They're not against government. And later on you hear me tell about why they're not against government. Because you see, primary wealth in this country, the primary responsibility of government is to move wealth and to move power. And that's how the dominant society got its wealth and its power, by using government. But now they want to make sure black folks don't have access to it. That's why they're anti-affirmative action, but I'll get into all that a little later.
Okay, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. How we doing, brothers?
That was Pete, yeah.
That was
Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't looked into Claude Anderson, to tell you the truth. I keep on hearing you guys talking about him, so you know he's someone that I need to look into, you know.
Yeah, you better look into him. He's gonna be on Hidden Colors too. So you better get that real quick.
I've seen Hidden Colors 1. I like the way they make everyone's a Moor, innit? But it's true. I can't really say anything to that. But you know. For me,
yeah, but the people he's talking to don't pay no attention to that.
Yeah. That is the sad part about it. I was hoping you didn't go ahead
and read it. Well, it ain't sad. It's just that, I mean, that's just where they are. You just got to take advantage of where folks are.
Okay.
I mean, those stuff about people all marching to the same tune and so on, that's just not going to happen. The only thing as a business person you'd be concerned is the market and capturing the market. You talk about those people that got everything. The only way you're going to take it from them, you got to compete against them. And that can be done.
We can't compete?
We can't compete. There's African-American businesses competing already. Just ain't enough of them, and particularly in the right places.
So what
Blacks have money. Blacks have subsidies. And the food stamps is a subsidy.
That's a fact that Black folks live real swell here. Yes.
So what industries are these Black people in?
Black folks are everything.
Is it one industry that we dominate in?
Black folks in every industry.
Okay, yeah, so is there one industry? Where we really go ahead and look to that and go ahead and say, hey, look, we're doing it. You know, that could be a model and go ahead and help some other folks out.
No, those are people that know. Those are people that know. You can't go to Harvard and learn how to do some of these things. Some of these people have been running other folks' business in one capacity or another for 20, 30 years. They the one need to be out. Or should I say they would be the ideal ones to be out to compete against those who they're working for, putting their own children to work.
Look at the food stamps
they're spending in the Black community. Blacks receive food stamps in their right hand and give it out to foreigners in their left hand.
Mm.
That's cash flow.
See, and that leads me to something else, man. Here's one. I'm gonna try. I got a bunch of little things I think I can call tips. Okay, but we do got some black people that go ahead and they do cook and do some things. And I don't like when I go ahead and see somebody in their house and they got all that instant shit. But that's where we at.
Hey,
so,
brother. Can I say
ahead.
Something? Have you ever thought of going on we quit Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah.
Can you take the passing though from Gordon though?
I think I'd piss him off because I'd be laughing so much. I'd probably look at him, man. You know, fuck that. Yeah, I was in the military, so that you're yelling shit don't fuck with me.
Is it? Okay, that's good then, isn't it? As long as you're not gonna be ignorant, you know, because like I said, he's gonna tell you if you make a mistake. He's gonna just tell you about yourself. You should go in there because you could get what you need.
Oh man, I don't know. I never even thought about that, man. But man, you threw me off, man. What the fuck, man? Oh yeah. Okay, so thanks for that, brother. Let me deal with this real quick. One thing, one area, because like we got through this. Oh, hard to say this. Thanksgiving. And a whole lot of black people was going ahead and cooking, trying to go ahead and get them dinners together. It's another holiday coming up near the Christmas, so black people going to be doing all that cooking. All right. I went to one of the local grocery stores because I had to go ahead and do some cooking because I need to get some items real quick. And it was when I went into one of the bigger grocery chains here, I went to get a dozen eggs, and it was like fucking $3.49 for 12 eggs. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And usually I'd be like, just grab and go. But this day it just made me just pay attention. I was like, wait a minute. That's ridiculous. Because I've been to farms, and I didn't get a dozen eggs for like 65 cents. And then I go to the wholesalers, I can go ahead and get them for maybe like a dollar. So I start thinking, I was like, there's some shit that we might be able to capitalize on real quick. You ain't got to go ahead and have no ties to no farm. You can go ahead and try to get that on later. You know, getting you a fertilized egg and growing to a chick. If you got the space, fertilized eggs are something like 65 cents. Go ahead and get the little incubator, and I think it's like $150.
Mm.
Grow your own fucking eggs. Sell them to every motherfucking body. Christmas coming up, goddammit. How many people gonna be trying to go ahead and pretend to go ahead and be bakers and make these nasty ass cakes?
That's the next deal.
That shit fucking, you know, I went over, if my cousin was here, I'd tell on her ass. She made this cake. That shit was horrible. I've been giving lessons for a long fucking time. If she would just come to the fucking lessons and not be drunk, we can go ahead and get some shit. But she made this horrible ass cake, and then also I tried to put everything together. But this thing here, you can go to try to get to one of your local wholesalers, get you a case of eggs. I think it's like
about eight.
And you can go ahead and sell that shit. That's something, because a whole lot of shit coming up here real soon with this Christmas. Everybody want to go ahead and bake? Go ahead, brother.
I was going to say, you know why the reason is why black folk don't support black businesses and stuff like that? You're too close.
You're too what?
What I mean is that you're too close. Where is it? That's why the devil, the highest devil is in the elite. They don't live nowhere where there's people. They understand the psychology of it all. When we see them, when you see someone who's got a lot of money and he nearby, Rothschilds or the people who own McDonald's or the people who own Walmart live close by and you could see their riches, what they're dealing with, people would soon stop supporting them. Do you understand? Because everyone can see what they've got and see what the little man's got. And these times you're supporting them. That's why they live in Caribbean islands and, you know, they're away from the public eye. You understand? That's where it is, you know.
That's why
black folk don't support black folk, because if someone to give you money and in 2 2s he sees you pulling up in a Beamer, he's going to automatically think that you used his money to buy that Beamer.
Especially that brings me to buying all these goddamn products. They ain't made by black folk. I mean, shit. I don't understand. Like, I think you and I were talking. And I was trying to tell you. So I just don't understand why, you know, black people buying so many fucking phones and iPads and all that bullshit. You really don't need all that shit.
Yeah, and it's got hundreds of features, and black folk may use about 2 of the features on the phone. And there's 100 different features on the phone, but you only use 2 of the features, 2 to 3, not even 10 of the features that's on the phone. Some men's phones have got spell checks, right? And people are still asking, how do you spell this? How do you spell that? People are still trying to do math on paper and their phone's got a calculator. I don't understand that. For real. They just want to play games and send text messages. And make phone calls, and the phone's got a million different features, but you only use it for basic and submental things.
You know what I saw? I saw something right on I don't remember what fucking the History Channel, some shit like that. And they were talking about how Japanese technology really really took off. It was a lot of U.S. help, a whole lot of U.S. help. But basically, a lot of stuff that the U.S. was giving China, they was giving them really, they weren't giving them a whole lot of support. Okay, they was giving them money, but they was like giving them a lot of crap, and it was then sending like a lot of garbage over there. But the Japanese, these motherfuckers say, fuck that. We're going to break shit down. We're going to go ahead and see how every fucking piece works, and we're going to figure out how to figure this shit out. And they did that. And it was amazing how they fucking did that, but they had a little help, but not a lot.
No, what it is, is when...
Let me say this. I don't understand why a lot of motherfuckers don't take their goddamn cell phone and crush it under their fucking heel and figure out how to fucking put it back together. What's black folks? You can do that. Crush that bitch and go ahead and put it back together. Learn how to fucking do this shit. Stop buying this shit from these motherfuckers because they're coming back and fucking you over with that shit.
No, you're right, bro. Fuck you right.
Go ahead, bro.
I ain't got nothing to say to that. I was going to say, with the Japanese and the Americans, when they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, the bomb out there, the atom bomb, they took all of their best scientists because they were doing a lot of experiments on people, experiment with different diseases with no anesthetic. If you type in Unit 731, all their scientists went over to America and they took all their research as well. So It's more like that the Americans took their thing and, you know, mixed up, you know, the innovations and that and the technology with each other. Because Japan used to be allies with Germany, you know, up until that stage, until you dropped that bomb on them.
I think I saw this thing where, you know, basically this whole, you know, war, you know, basically, you know, Jews had a lot of hand in it. But it had something to do with the so-called technology bullshit.
No. The Jews had everything to do with World War I and World War II. Those wars were really a war between J.P. Morgan of America and Rothschilds of Europe, you know? That's all that was about. And that's why people say they financed both sides, because they were financing, the Rothschilds were financing you guys. I mean, J.P. Morgan and Chase were financing you side, your side. And the Rothschilds were financing Europe. And that's why they say World War I was the war to stop all wars, because those were the two major powers, the real powers. But they were just using countries to front it. You understand?
I get it. Kind of basically, I heard a lot about the fucking Rothschilds and going ahead and be involved in all that other shit. You know, I got 2.5 minutes left in the show. I'm going to go ahead and go in overtime. You know, everybody willing. I'm gonna open everybody's line right now.
What does brother Asar think of that? What I'm just saying there, because he's more. I know he's an expert of the Jews.
Hold on. Hey, wait. Hold on. My show can't be complete. Like, I play the ultimate of house niggas. Okay, so this is one of the reasons I try to do this. One of the reasons that keep me going, because you got motherfuckers out here trying to fuck us up like this. So give me a listen to this.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery, because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestors way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough, but, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So the pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffered as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Yeah.
Who is that?
That sounds like somebody's sister.
Sounds like Larry Elder.
Oh, man, I've been trying to hold that, man. I was trying not. Man, did you hear that shit? Goodness gracious.
For real life, Uncle Russ. That's what that is, the real life Uncle Ruckus.
that is Jesse Lee Peterson, everybody.
Jesse Lee Peterson.
Look that motherfucker up. You're like, woo. Oh, we
Tracy, you wake up.
But this, that fucker there, boy.
Who's
like,
that sister, Tracy?
That man,
you wake
man.
Up, Tracy.
Hold on. That clip get funnier and funnier every fucking time I hear it. Oh,
well,
my goodness. Did
that
you
still
hear the
is commonplace. that feeling is somewhat commonplace too.
Isn't it? Okay. It is.
We're savages back in Africa. That's why.
And believe it or not, it's a whole lot of people. See, it's a whole lot of people out here who feel the exact same way. I was at my job where I used to work. There was a lady over there who, like, every fucking time she seen me, when she found out about my position on a lot of shit, on religion, on African history, on just being a man, every time she seen me, she would stare me down and be looking at me. One day, she came at me, she said, "Hey, I heard you was an atheist." I said, "Yeah." She pulled out her fucking Bible and tried to hit me in the fucking head with it. This the same lady I had heard say, "Hey, look, the reason that the Africans were slaves was because they were stupid." I was like, "This is crazy." So look, we got a whole lot of them out here, man. It's hard to go ahead and fight these fuckers. Everybody's line is open. Go ahead and feel free. Anybody want to chime in? Go ahead.
About this clip is the how it started, where he says that the people want to get out of Africa so bad that they're rushing over to America, and I'm trying to figure out when are the people that's rushing over to Africa gonna try and get out of Africa? I mean, you have the Chinese over there. Before, and you have all kinds of Europeans, and they were so desperate. I'm reading this book now called King Leopold's Ghost. And these Europeans were fighting over each other to get into Africa. They wanted to know what was in the middle of Africa so bad. These people have been raping Africa for like the last 600 years. So, obviously, the resources over there are not running out because now you have other groups of people going into Africa. So, what type of idiotic statement could a person make then to say that the Africans are trying to leave Africa? The only reason why the Africans would, in their right African mind, be trying to leave Africa is if they have been convinced that it's something outside of their riches that they already are in. They need to be trying to kick the people that came to Africa out of Africa.
Let me give you two things I saw recently. Okay, one was what's that? That's Mozambique, right? I think that Mugabe, Robert Mugabe.
Okay, Mugabe is Zimbabwe.
Yeah, Zimbabwe, Mugabe in Zimbabwe. Man, they went back to going ahead trying to kick the white farmers out. Okay, and so if I hadn't went to another site, I probably wouldn't have saw it because that's one story you can go ahead and see on the so-called mainstream media, you know, your white man's media here in America. I could go ahead and see none of that shit here, and I saw it and I was like, damn, because what happened was, the issue was, and this was like. They say, hey, yesterday that some white farmers were being attacked, and I caught it, and I was like, damn, this was like days old, and I didn't see anything on the news about it. Plus, every now and then I go ahead and I check the NASA channel, and they was talking about how many more type billionaires are going ahead and joining this thing to go ahead and go to Mars. But look. Africa has a lot of resources, but some of these motherfuckers are planning to get the hell off this rock already.
I've been saying this to the family already. They got that space island as well, where it's like a fire sphere that they got in Star Trek.
Hold on, we all echoing here, man.
It's Sister Tracy.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, they got that space. It's still echoing.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it real fast.
I think it's Sister Tracy.
No. Go ahead, try to finish your piece, bro.
Yeah, they got that space island, that they're building, that they built that's meant to be like they got it's a biosphere. It's gonna use reusable energy, you know. And if they're just looking to throw out in space until they can find a planet habitable for them to go to. I mean, if you look at Mars closely, you can see that place is a laboratory. There's something on it. Definitely. You know. Definitely. Right, though. People were there before.
Well, I'm getting ready to go to sleep.
All right, brother.
I'll see y'all later. Hotel.
How do you bless, brother?
Night.
You know, what did... Let me ask you everybody a quick question. Well, what did you think about me going... Well, my idea about to go ahead and try to put the eggs in the community? Anybody got any idea about that?
Put the what?
What I was saying was, hey, because the holiday coming up, for Christmas, you know, go ahead and get you some eggs wholesale and try to sell them to the community.
Sell eggs?
Yeah. Everybody going to be, some people going to be trying to make cakes. You think everybody going to go ahead and do their Christmas dinner, go ahead and buy from someplace else?
I guess it's a good idea if you've got some people that you know cook.
So everybody going out on Christmas.
I'm hoping to be out at work.
Hey, Sister Tracy.
That's not Tracy.
They ain't Tracy. I thought that was Sister Tracy.
Not Tracy.
This is Jackie. This is not Tracy.
Okay, Sister Tracy got away with it.
Okay. You got a question for the sister? What?
No, I haven't really got a question, you know. I'm in accord with what she's saying. I ain't really got a problem, you know. I mean, with your business thing, you know, you ain't going to... I mean, eggs, you're a cook. You should just make the cakes.
Hey, wait, hold on. Let's not go ahead and fuck that up again, okay? Okay. I take offense to that. I done been to school. I done go ahead and worked in this industry. I done owned business in this shit. Don't call me no cook. Cooks work for me.
Oh, say,
I'm a chef.
Say.
I run the motherfucker.
I'll say, okay? I mean, you're a chef. You should just run, make the cakes and make people buy them off you. Even, actually, why don't you make the whole dinners for them and sell them the dinner?
That's some of the shit I try to do, and that's some of the stuff I try to encourage. Because you can go ahead and do, one of the things that I like about going ahead and cooking, because a lot of people want to go ahead and try to get involved, and that brings conversation. You know, that always bring conversation. That, you know, what you doing? Okay, what you doing here? You know, then you go here, you get close and want to talk. Because once the shit starts smelling good, everybody want to come to the kitchen, goddammit. What the fuck? You know, that's not bullshit.
Hey, Chef, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Hey, look, you know what would be nice, though? Fix your kitchen up like a studio, right? And get on public access, you know?
I'm working on that, brother.
Yeah.
I'm working on. I don't want to tell you what I told Bob this spring, but yeah, I'm working on that, man. Because I had done some stuff already, but I just didn't like how they look. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to hear about the eggs?
No, I'm saying I have an idea about those eggs.
Yeah, think about that for a minute.
It's a lot of young girls out there that don't know how to cook. Their mothers don't know how to cook either. You can charge them and teach them how to make cakes.
Whew. I'm already doing
it. They can take the cake home for the holiday. It can be a special day before New Christmas Eve cake baking day or some shit like that.
Something like that recently, and it's amazing what I see. And I was just like, wow. I was like, God damn, this is okay. Mm.
Hey, Chef.
Yeah.
Hey, how you start off with your cake? Do you beat your whites into put a lot of air in it and add your powder to it like that?
See, that's a different form of cake. That's an angel food cake. So,
okay.
You know, if you're going to go ahead and just make a regular, you know, just a regular yellow cake, That's totally different. You can go ahead and just put the whole egg, or you can just beat the egg and put it in there. But when you separate them and you go ahead, that's angel food cake. That's totally different.
Okay. You ever did a fruit cake before?
Yeah.
See, that's where you ought to specialize in. That right there. Black folks bad up jokes there.
Look, you know, the only ones that I really like are the ones that's just saturated with liquor. That's the only one that fucking matter. The other ones, if you make it and you just keep brushing liquor on it, so it's just like, you know, like just like straight drinking some shots or something, a liquor or a rum or tequila. That's them the best ones. Some of them other ones, no, they make to me they ain't cool. I don't like them.
You know, if somebody makes us fruit cakes every year for Christmas, our crew, our chef, somebody, I don't know who this person is, but
it's
these cakes are so good, nice and soft fruit cakes.
I still want liquor in it.
I don't know if there's liquor in it. It's really sticky and stuff, so I don't know if there's liquor in it, but you know how the cake is usually kind of dry. This is really wet, so that's what made me think about the liquor when you said that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, just want the liquor. Like, fuck it. I can just chew that rum, and I'll be like, God damn. And then with the fruit and stuff, if you do make it a certain way.
That's what it is, rum?
I like it with rum, so. And then I like it with rum, but I like it with, like, real rum, like, you know, real Caribbean rum. Not this shit they sell in the stores. I mean, that thick molasses
Ray
type
Brothers.
Shit. Huh?
The Ray Brothers.
I forgot the names. I don't remember the names.
Ray Brothers.
Look, you remember the name a little bit in the beginning, but by the time you get to the end of the bottle, you'd be like, fuck it, just throw it in the garbage and see if you got another one. That's what I'm at.
So you put the whole bottle of rum on the cake?
You know, sometimes it went not the whole bottle. No, maybe like about a third of the bottle. And then I go ahead and I finish off another third drinking it while I'm making it. For real. Well, I'll be like, hey, fuck it, And that's when I ain't got too much shit to do. I'll get like, I haven't done that in a long time in a while. But I think those are much, much better.
Yeah, I like some rum in my cake. I mean, a lot of Caribbean people or Jamaican people, we put a lot of rum in our cakes.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know all about it. I know all about it. But the thing I like about food is one thing. And if you go ahead and look into it a little bit more, with foods, everybody got to eat.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cash cow that we really overlooking.
I think
everybody
got to
eat.
Would be a good business as well, brother.
Say it again.
I think toilet paper would be a good one as well.
Oh, man, but you got to get the trees. But, you know, I've seen a way to go ahead and do that. And it's like they got like all these wood brokers. You know, so you can try to go ahead and get with the wood. Go ahead and do it yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's some ways to do that, man. But it's a lot of opportunities out here. But the thing that I don't like so much is that, you know, a lot of people that's supposed to be representing us, a lot of these fuckers go ahead, they just about themselves.
Yeah.
Because they could be bringing these opportunities and shit to the neighborhood as a whole and just
I mean,
throw.
I
these motherfuckers are not doing none of that shit. You know, like right now, one of the local politicians is asked about to fucking go to jail. And I'm going to keep on mentioning his ass, too.
Black man or white or devil?
Black man about to go to jail. Jesse Jackson Jr.'s son.
and you know
Jesse
what?
Jesse Jackson Senior's son, my fault. Jesse Jackson Junior's about to go to jail.
And you know what would be good, yeah? Because I heard that Jay-Z is gonna build a arena to rival Madison Square Gardens. Is that true, right?
Where you gonna build that at?
Right next to Madison Square Gardens.
Right next to it?
Yeah.
I ain't see all that. I need to check my financial shit, my business stuff.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is that I bet that guy, if you see the people who are building it, I bet it's going to be 70% devils and Spanish and Latinos and all that.
Let me tell you what happened here a few months back, right? One of the He's one of the local black millionaires. Damn, I don't know why his name slipped me for the moment. Shit. It'll come back to me. What he was doing was he was driving down one street out on the south side of Chicago, and he noticed all the construction going on, and he pulled over. And he said, "Hey, look, you know, y'all can't do this. You got to shut this shit down."
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, "You know, what do you mean?" He said, "Hey, look, I don't see not one black person over here." So soon after that, man, they called a rally. And I think it was, and first the news was saying it was about, you know, it was like 2,000 or 3,000 people showed up. But when I looked at some foreign reports, like they had one of the report from one of the Spanish channels, it was like 10,000 black folks showed up over there. So, because they had them construction jobs over there and wasn't no black people over there. That was, I think that was, for me, that was an opportunity I missed. Because I kept saying, well, these niggas ain't going to show up. And I saw that, and I was like, damn, there is some unity in this motherfucker. But Chicago is considered like the murder capital of the fucking world.
Yeah.
You know, so you got a whole lot of shit going on in this motherfucker, man. So, you know, one of the things I'm trying to go ahead and do is try to go ahead and give an alternative with my foundation. So I'll be coming out, speaking out about that, hopefully about some stuff. If this thing go right this next week, then I got a good plan for a lot of people, and we're going to be expanding immediately. So,
you know what's funny about that, right, is that a lot of prominent black folk have come from there. I mean, why Obama was a senator out there, right, or a governor, I can't remember. I don't know what it is exactly. He used to be working in Chicago, right?
Say that again?
Obama, wasn't he a senator out there or a governor or some shit like that?
Yeah, he was a state senator. He was for the state.
Then you got Farrakhan, who's meant to be located around Chicago. You understand?
Yeah, you gotta see the outside of that house. I ain't never been inside, but you gotta see that house. I was like, damn, look at this. And you should see how many motherfuckers are around that house.
Full of light skinned niggas, isn't it? The biggest and the baddest.
Yeah, it's a lot of motherfuckers outside that.
You know, I heard a theory that that Khaled was around Chicago as well, wasn't he?
So, who?
Khaled Muhammad.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. No.
I heard that they threw Dr. Khalid out because he was too dark. Could there be any truth to that? If you guys know more about, you know, Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam and all that.
I don't know firsthand.
Kofu. Magneto.
Oh.
Is Magneto on the line still?
I think he is. His line's open. Maybe he muted his phone, but. Let me give you one real quick. A little bit more of some Jesse Lee Peterson.
And we have a special Out in the Open panel tonight. They'll be with us throughout the hour to talk about self-segregation. Molly Secour, who writes a column on race relations for blackcommentator.com. CNN contributor Roland Martin. Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, founder and president of Brotherhood Organization for a New Destiny. And James Edwards, host of The Political Cesspool on WRL-MAM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome all.
Thank you. Good to be here, Paula.
One of the most striking things about talking to these kids is the extent to which they downplayed the issue of race and why it is all the white kids sat together, the black kids and Hispanics. Do you buy that?
I don't. You know, a lot of white Americans are afraid to talk about race and morality concerning black Americans.
But I was talking to black kids, too. Yeah, they said the same thing. They said, we want to be around kids that have something in common with us. We're in schoolrooms with them all day long. Lunches are, you know,
a little bit
of time that we have to relax.
People tend to be comfortable with folks that they know. But when it comes to the white and black issue, most black Americans are racist and resentful of white Americans. And so they don't feel comfortable around white Americans. And instead of facing their racism, they say, well, it's the white man. White people are racist toward us. And white folks are fed up. They are afraid to speak up for fear of being called racist. They are now afraid to hang around with black Americans because
of the fear
of saying the wrong thing.
So you're telling me these kids at this school in this racially diverse city are all racist?
I'm not saying
black kids?
I'm not saying that they all are, but I am saying that most blacks are today, and we haven't dealt with the issue of racism from black Americans toward white folks. Because blacks have been told that they can't be a racist by their quote-unquote leaders, and so racism within the hearts and minds of black folks concerning white Americans have not been dealt with.
All right. Do you not like me? Do you not like James? Do you not like white people, Roland Martin?
First of all, the nonsense that Reverend Peterson is spewing is ridiculous. Here's the reality. Folks live in areas where they live, so they go to school. You have an understanding of where you're simply from. I went to Texas A&M, and it was interesting when students from large cities would sit with students from large cities. Students from rural towns would sit with students from rural towns. Texas A&M is 86% white.
Right.
When I was a student there. That is the reality. Now, the issue is what happens when you only stay in that particular area. I don't buy this nonsense that they're racist. People are simply comfortable based upon circumstance, based upon where they're from, based upon culture, based upon knowledge. That's what it boils down to.
Roland is in denial. I wrote an article for WorldNetDaily.com looking for one strong white man, a white man that would speak up. And I received truckloads of emails from white Americans who said that I am afraid to deal with black folks for fear of being called a racist. I got it from preachers and non-preachers alike.
James.
Paula, Reverend Peterson's absolutely white. As a white American, I think that what's portrayed throughout the controlled media is that self-segregation is something that we should apologize for, when in fact the exact opposite is true. I think that it's perfectly natural and healthy that one would choose to associate with members of their own families, people with whom they share the same values and traditions and heroes. There's nothing enriching for white school children to be bussed across town to gang-ridden schools in which they have to walk through metal detectors before they can report the class.
This is a racially diverse school. I mean, we're talking about a school that actually where they got rid of segregation years ago by federal mandate.
The idea of white people are afraid to be called racist, first of all, we need to get over this whole thing of, am I a racist, am I not? The answer is yes. You cannot grow up in America and not be racist if you are white.
Are you saying white people are racist?
I'm saying all white people start off being racist.
That's
you cannot grow up in this culture without being racist. Once you accept the fact that you have an inherited it's in the air.
So do you agree with me that most blacks are racist and all whites?
By the time I die, I will be less racist. But it's only to the degree that I work against being racist.
But what about the Reverend's point that he feels that the blacks are more racist towards whites than whites towards blacks?
Racism equals prejudice plus power. Blacks in this country do not have power. They do not have.
You don't have to have power to be a racist. Conservatives are discriminated against by liberal blacks, like this guy here. They're called Uncle Tom.
All right, hang on, James, you get the last word, and then we'll go back to all of you. James, you get the last word, then you all get to chime in after the break.
Only liberal demagogues believe that human nature can be carried away on an integrated school bus. There's nothing wrong with European Americans standing up for their culture and their traditions, and you want that for minorities. We want it for ourselves, and I think many white Americans are seeing through this charade, and I'm one of them that's beginning to speak out against it.
Do you consider yourself a racist?
No, I consider myself a man who's proud of his cultural heritage.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Hold your thoughts. Hold your fire. We've got a lot more to discuss.
Oh, man, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. Hello, everybody. Everybody's line
what
is open.
What do you think he consider himself?
He don't consider himself a racist.
Well, what did he say he considered himself? I didn't hear that.
He just didn't say he considered himself a racist. I can't get the last part of it. They hooked up for that, but yeah.
Wait, my brother. Was he the one? Was the black man?
Hold on. See, that was the part I was talking about earlier in my show. When I was talking about what that sister was, she's not a sister. That she a white woman.
What I'm saying. Yeah. So one of them, someone said they were looking for a strong white man. And was that a black man who said that? And then he said they could all white people were too scared to come out and say how they feel.
Really?
Did you hear that in the comment? Did you hear that in that in your last caption, what you just played?
Yeah.
Say that part again, that last part.
Didn't you just hear that in the tape that you just played?
Yeah, you know. Amazing. Okay. I've heard it a few times, so, you know, the whole thing just cracks me up every time I hear Jesse Lee Peterson, so.
So is Jesse Lee Peterson the one who said he was looking for a strong white man to,
right.
No. Okay.
Wait, woman
there to me? I have, anytime a devil's trying to say these things for black folk, I have to see, know if they got a motive, because I ain't going to fall for it again. You understand? It's hard for me to trust them. You know, it's better. I mean, I've got to know, has she got a black man? Is she trying to run for some sort of politics? What is it? What is her
motivation, right?
Yeah, I want to know what is her motive for this shit.
Yeah.
No devil can't come and tell me he wants me to have rights. I'm saying, what is it that you want? You know what I mean? Do you want to get permission to run up in Africa and do your damage, do your work? Huh? Do you want me to work for you? Build another civilization for your ass?
Yeah, so but what about Jesse Lee Peterson, the clip I played earlier about him going in and saying, hey, look, you know, basically what he's saying is that white man
the majority of most preachers.
Huh?
And he's the majority of most preachers.
So
and
let me ask, okay, hold on.
Church,
so,
if he's not
saying. Wait. So over here we know we got the Jesse Lee Petersons and this other motherfucker, I can't remember his name either, that bastard in New Jersey. Manning. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, that motherfucker. So you got Jesse Lee Petersons over in the UK?
Yeah, we got, listen, man, a majority of preachers, ooh, Christian preachers, they all say the same shit because they get subsidized by the government. Do you understand?
You know what, man? Oh, man.
No
one
wants to mess that up.
Hold on. They came out with George Bush, came out with the faith-based initiative. And Brother Umar Johnson was saying here, that's the FBI, faith-based initiative. And that was some money for the churches. He said, hey, that was some hush money.
Well, I want to say this about Umar Johnson.
Wait, listen to me. That was that faith-based initiative, that money, it's a grant and stuff for churches and stuff. So is that like, is the same thing going on in the UK? They came up with another program or with another name with it to go ahead and get the churches some hush money?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. The churches have got the best technology. Especially the big ones. And then you've got some big black churches, you know. They got the best technology. Well, I mean, they got the latest state-of-the-art computers.
Oh, stop.
They get these big projectors.
Wait,
they get put on TV as
well.
Wait,
stop. Okay, I think the fucking mega church here, the biggest church, I think it was in Los Angeles, right? And I think it was like $30 million or some shit. You got some shit like that over there?
What? Listen, brother. There's a church in Brixton called Ruach. It's got a capacity of 5,000, 3,000 to 5,000, right? Now, they bring that collection, they bring that bucket around 4 to 3 times, right? People ain't putting no change in there, right? So people are putting at least £5 a pop. They must bring, if I've calculated it rightly.
Wait, brother, hold on. What's £5 in US dollars?
10,000, £5. Well, every pound is worth $1.40, or between $1.40 and $1.50.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
So five of that, 3, 6. That'll be $7.50. You understand? And I'm saying
they put 10 pounds in there.
People put in that, and they bring around that collection 4 times. Plus, you've got to check the tithes as well. And, you know, when the kids go in a Sunday school as well, they get hustled in there.
Wait, hold on, brother. You know, what I'm seeing is that they come to church and they give about $100 a day.
$100 a day? They're making at least
They're making at least $5,000 a time.
Damn, I'm doing the wrong fucking thing.
$5,000 a show. Well, that's the biggest business. If you have a church, you're going to make money like, whoa. Free money. Even better than the charities, because at least after with the charities, at least after a while you keep on giving them money, you say, how come these people are still in need after the amount of money I gave last time? But with the church, all you know you're giving it to is some invisible God. You know, so you don't have to ever account for it.
So what kind of life do the preachers live on? I mean, the preachers, the pastors, or whatever, the heads of the church, what kind of life do they live?
They driving Bentleys and having enough money to send all their kids to school. These people drive the nicest cars all the time, and their kids are driving. These guys ain't got no job. Where are they getting the money to do all this? They're not doing nothing in the community. These people are straight up hustlers. Then they got the international convention where they got people all over the world coming a few times a year.
These are black ones, black preachers.
Man, all the churches are dealing with the devil, man. There ain't no church in Britain.
I want to know basically about the black church, because I know the white church is pimping you.
Let me tell you something, brother. The white churches are better than the black churches. When I was young, I used to get sent. I grew up with my grandparents, right? And I'm saying, bro, they used to force me to go to church, yeah, on Sundays for a couple of years, you know. And I just said to myself, all right, if I have to go to church, but they're not going with me, you know. They just sent me to church, you know, on Sundays, yeah. And I said, bro, well, if I'm going to get forced, I want to go to try other churches. So I tried one white man church. I saw tramps in there, all sorts of people in that church. Now, I felt better in that church. Now, when I went to the black church that I used to go to all day, every Sunday, I saw, because there's a mental home up the road from where I live, and they used to try and come in the church. They wouldn't let them in. If you weren't dressed to go in, you know, they ain't letting you in. You can't even wear your baseball cap or anything in the church, in the black church.
Wait, you got a dress code in the church? I thought it was you are.
No, not in these churches. You don't look like you're coming to church. They can run your ass out. That's why they got ushers in the black churches in England. But when you want to go to the devil's church, the devil will let you take you in as you were. I saw hypocriticalness as a youngster from these churches, especially from the black church. I said, but in reality, the white churches, I was thinking to myself, and I said it to my cousin, I said, bro, the black churches don't have all types of people in there, like the tramps and the poor people. The black church would have said, no, you can't come in. Are you sure you're meant to be here? I hear them asking them questions like that, because like I said, there was a mental home up the road. So they used to stop them guys from coming in. And some of them, I would see them in the white church up the road. Because I said to my grandparents, look, let me pick what church I go to. And the reason why I didn't mind going to the white church was because it ended quicker. And they never came round with the tithes. They didn't come round with the tithes.
Wait. Okay. Goddamn, we got that shit in common. Because the black church in America, that shit can go on for hours, too.
Yeah.
And so can the mosque. That's why I stopped going to mosque. I'm getting out of some shit. I go to the mosque the very first time, and it was, like, really... like uplifting. I go there the next time and it is so, and after that it was people tapping me on the back, sister, young sister, go in the bathroom and splash some water on your face. I'm like, this shit 4 hours long, what y'all expect? Of course you don't go to sleep in here.
Sister, when you put your money in them Orthodox Muslim churches, you are literally paying for slavery, real time, when you're investing your money in there. You're paying for your own slavery and demise.
I have never ever, I mean, I haven't went to church that many times, but whenever I did, I have never gave up more than a dollar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they probably was looking at me like, you cheap bitch. I don't care.
Yeah, that's a good. It was a special show.
I mean, it's just one passage in the Bible that says something like, "What God need anything from you for?" And you know, that's my philosophy. If I need to help a poor person, I mean, if I can help them, because how I see it, I'm poor myself. So if I can help them, I can help them. But put into a pot to help them, hell nah, that's silly.
You know what?
Post y'all sermons on the mount. Y'all don't need no damn building with no electricity and pews and shit. Post that shit outside.
Hey, no doubt, she stuck.
I'm still stuck on them going here over there, giving up $100 a day. I feel like, hey, look, if they doing that shit over there, how much they giving up over here?
Yeah. And you know when you
some
see
people
some
do
people
do that. One day I was in the mosque and this old dude, he looked like he just came from outside somewhere. He looked really poor, and he was struggling up the aisle to hand up his little $100 bill. So sometimes some people, they really believe that their money is going for a cause, but if you read some books like Kimberly Robeson Lawson, where she talk about the preacher and how they get together, and they hold little hope festivals, and they had a little apartments that the church paid for, and they let other preachers from out of town come and bring their mistresses and all of that shit. I know it's just a book, but...
Wait, back up. What's the name of this book again?
It's a series. She got a whole series. This is about this preacher named Curtis Black, and they're in the Chicago area, and it's just a whole series of, you know, his dirty work.
Hold on now, Jackie. You can't be down in Chicago now. I know we got some problems.
Well, this is where the book is set at. I mean, it's a series. It's probably about 7 books in a series where she talk about this preacher, and, you know, he's dirty as hell. And by the time he straightened his life around, he got this chick who she's obsessed with being the church mother or whatever the fuck you want to call it, and she's sleeping with the deacons and all kinds of stuff. His daughter turns out to be a tramp. I mean, it's real life. If you look at this shit, and you're like, damn, didn't this bitch just write about this shit? And you see this shit happening. Like, you see Eddie Long in the scandal. You see Creflo Dollard beat the hell out of his daughter, and they claim it ain't the first time, and he claim he ain't do it. You know what I mean? All of this shit she writes about in these books about these preachers.
Wait a minute. I think you heard me say this. When that shit first came out, I think you heard me say this. I really feel that wasn't the first fucking time he done that shit. That ain't the first. Because if you look at the story, the way they put it, it just looked like, hey, well, his wife knew. And she knew not to go ahead and say shit. She knew her place. She knew she can get her fucking bell rung, too. So that's probably why she didn't say shit.
But then again, she could be like the chick in the book. She could be obsessed with being a church mother and, you know what I mean? The more and more they expose, the more and more they real dirt come out. Because, you know, when you the preacher and the church mother and all of that shit, you have to uphold a certain kind of image.
True, sister.
So that probably ain't shit she could say without more shit coming out. Because, you know, it's probably going to be her husband on the front page in a sex scandal in the next 3 to 5 years.
No doubt.
I don't trust none of them bastards, because I can't figure out why is there so many. I mean, and then some Christians, they might come at you and say, well, it's not the majority of the preachers that do this, but it's enough of them that's involved in sex scandals. And then yes, the Catholic priest with the little boys, it's these Baptist preachers and the women in the church. And if it ain't the women, it's the little girls. They fucking the little girls in the churches.
And if it ain't a little girl, it's a little boys.
Yeah. And you think about it like even Elijah Muhammad. And these people, they still walking around talking, every time they say his name, they talking about peace to the prophet and all this bullshit. Ain't this the same prophet that fucked little girls and then denied it?
Well, I wouldn't go so hard on Elijah. I mean, Elijah did good things for the people. He did good things for the people, brother. I mean, sister, I'm saying.
And I'm pretty sure a lot of them priests that raped them little boys did a lot of good things for the people, too. But
no, they don't do nothing for the people.
we can ignore the good things they did, you know what I mean, and put this on them. But when it comes to like Muhammad, we're going to ignore the fact that he was fucking little girls and denied it. I would respect
We're not dealing with, we're not dealing with the same type of shit that Malachi Zedjuk was dealing with. We're not dealing with that. That's not that type of man. He was reforming guys that, who were on drug addiction, guys who came out of jail. No rehabilitation. He was teaching people to build for self and do for self, you know. That was no secret. His wife knew what he was dealing with. It's just that Malcolm, he had to go. He just went and said something because he felt bad because he got kicked. He got suspended. Everyone in Nation of Islam knew what he was doing. It weren't no secret. But when a man's done so much for you, you're not gonna really go. You're not gonna kill yourself to go and tell the world that he's doing this and that. And he never once preached that man shouldn't have more than one woman. If you can handle it, go ahead. You know. At the end of the day, the girls were 19. It's not like you heard that they were 16, 17, and they're debating whether the girl was in the right age. At the end of the day, Malachi Zedjuk, right? He's a big 60-year-old man, having sex with 16-year-olds and 17-year-old girls who just come up. You understand that? I'm not going to say 15. You know, I'm not going to put that on him. But, you know, at the end of the day, Elijah Muhammad did too much for us to... If we followed that man's blueprint, we would be all right. You know what I mean? That's how I see it. I don't think that's right for us to say that about Elijah. But, I mean,
Wait a minute. You can compare Elijah Muhammad to Jerry Sandusky. There's a lot of people on his side, too. But the bad does not outweigh the good.
Yeah, but
and I
Jerry
don't see how in Elijah Muhammad in this situation, how could the good outweigh the bad? To me, that shit makes no sense. If you're wrong, you're wrong. That's the fucked up thing about religion. Religion can make you overlook some wrong shit. If it wasn't for the whole religious aspect of it, nobody would be overlooking what he did. Wouldn't nobody be saying, oh, the prophet Elijah, God rest his soul and peace be upon him. They'd be saying the prophet Elijah, that motherfucker, he was fucking little girls and he had a wife.
Nah. That's debatable, sister. At the end of the day, the man did too much, man. You should know, you live in America, you know. He cleaned up areas of their drugs and stuff like that, boy. The man did too much. He was telling the devil who he was in his face on TV. What man has done that?
Okay, and let me ask you this. If that was
apart
your
from,
daughter he was fucking, would you excuse him because of what he did in the community?
Look, man, if that was my daughter, I would be very upset and he'd probably get ass whipping. You know, because you
but
can't be sleeping with my daughter.
Would you excuse him?
Would I excuse him for what?
Would you overlook it because of the good he did in the community?
Yeah, I would overlook it. Because, like I said, he was turned... I would overlook... Listen, he weren't... It's not like he was going round... What can I say? It's not like it was... It's not like he was walking, going in a community, seeing a young girl and picking him up and saying, yeah, I like this one, and then boom, boom, boom. It wasn't like that. It was girls who was part of his congregation, you know. And it was no secret. It's not like he tried to have it a secret. It's just that Malcolm X, he just decided
Wait. You said it was no secret. If it wasn't a secret, how come Malcolm didn't know about it?
Malcolm should have known about that
when he was in jail. It should have been common knowledge. And they were teaching him everything about the Quran. The prophet, he fucks little girls, too.
I mean, that's the reason why his kids are angry, because, W.D. Farad, he's upset because, you know, it was done on his mum. And I can understand their gripe, but them guys are just, them man, they've just house-niggered it up and destroyed the man. The man's work and what the man's done. Let me tell you, I'm just saying, sister, if we follow and if you just listen to what Elijah Muhammad says, right, you read a few of his books, right, and try and get the mind behind it. I understand that you're not
going for, he never once told people they can't have more than one woman, if you can afford it. But he never told
them. But he wasn't helping these young girls. He was denying their children.
He was denying their what?
He was denying their children.
Denying their children. I don't know about that. I don't know about that one. I never heard about that. I've never heard about that. You know.
Where Rob go?
But I understand, sister, that could be a touchy subject. But I don't think you can label him like the rest of the preachers. Because like I said, when he got the money, he was building, trying to build. He built schools. He had farmland. He was trying to set up banks and universities. He had schools for the kids, everything. You know.
But Malachi New York did the same thing. I don't see anybody excusing him for having sex with little kids.
Well, I mean, if
you really want to be honest, Malachi New York did more than more than Elijah Muhammad.
No way.
The single most thing that Malachi New York did that tops anything Elijah Muhammad did was he came up with his own language.
Maybe. But, I mean, the guys in Nation of Islam were well-educated. And, like I said, he's not reforming. He might have reformed a few criminals, but the amount of criminals that Elijah was reforming, he ran gangsters. He ran like, Jewish gangsters out of areas, out of hoods. He cleaned up areas of all the shitheads out of the area and stuff like that. No one, what group?
But the Black Panthers did the same thing.
Even though their run
wasn't as long as the Nation of Islam, but the Black Panthers was doing the same thing. And I can't help but to think that the Black Panthers probably helped the FBI during COINTELPRO to shut down organizations like the Black Panthers.
I mean, but even that, even there's talk of that being even COINTELPRO from the beginning, you know.
I mean, we're talking about an organization that set up somebody that killed one of their own. I have no respect for the Nation of Islam. Muhammad, Isaiah, Elijah Muhammad, my bad. Him. All of them.
Because you're a sister, right? I don't want to, you know. I hear what you're saying, and I understand why you can't get with it, because you're seeing it from a... If that was your husband, you wouldn't be happy that he's having sex with younger women and then way there under your feet. You understand? She knew about what was going on. You understand? As far as I'm concerned.
What?
He taught... I said, Malcolm wouldn't have been the man. If it weren't, wouldn't have been the man that he was if it weren't for Elijah Muhammad at the end of the day.
But he turned into a different man. Malcolm X and El Hajj Malik Shabazz, just two different men.
Malcolm was all good until he went to Mecca and come back, he turned house nigga. Because how can he be saying that the devil would be all right now if he found Islam? The devil will always be the devil. And there ain't no reform in them. They're just inclined to evil, majority of them. They're just inclined to evil. There's nothing that ain't going to change them. Even if you make them Islamic, whatever. There's racism in Mecca. Let's get that straight. There's racism out there thick enough. You cut it with a knife. All Arab countries, those countries are more racist than the countries that we live in.
So if that's the case,
misery
why would
loves
you take
company.
This racist-ass religion and put it on black people by the people that enslaved them and gave it to them and claim it's theirs originally? Because
yeah,
the same racist people practicing the same racist religion as black people that you're claiming that it turned them around, it cleaned up the street, same
yeah,
racist
but,
religion.
But, sister, he it's not like he was reading the Quran. He weren't reciting the Quran to people. You know, he was writing his own books.
Well, this is the same crazy ass man that thinks that a man named Yaqub with a big ass head
listen,
made the right
listen,
to Caucasian race. He actually believed that. I read
Sister, so where do you think that the devil come from? Where did the devil come from?
I don't believe in the devil.
All right, where did white folk come from?
I can't answer that no more than I can answer where black people came from. I don't think black people just started up off the ground in Africa like 20 million years ago. I don't believe that.
Sister, hear what I'm going to say to you. Everything on, if Sodom was originally from here, right, you would have the evolution. Now, even the oldest bones they find of black folk, I'm not even talking about Lucy. There's bones like maybe 1 million years old, 600,000 year old black bones, and the phenotype and the brain was exactly the same as we are today. So it's like we've always been. You understand? It's like we've always been. You see what I'm trying to say? So, evidently, we must have come from somewhere different. There's no way that black folk, and I know this is probably for another show, but there's no way black folk came from this planet, right? The devil's bones, right, are at least, you can only find them maybe, they can only go as far back as 5,000, between 4,000 to 6,000 years. And you can see their growth from Neanderthal up to how they look today. You know, and that's a bullshit as well when they say black folk change colour in the colder climate, they're the pinnacle point when black folks came from Africa and went into Europe. They've breeded out. It's as simple as that. They've been breeded into the Europeans' bloodline. Do you understand?
I understand that, but that doesn't explain where the Asians came from.
The Asians come from Homo erectus. That's where the...
Hello?
Yeah. So we all came from something. That means that whatever we came from... If we want to believe that it came from something, we evolved from something, wherever we were in our own parts of the world, somebody, they brung us religion or we made it up. That religion is adopted by some people that enslaved us. Now, if you want to think that these people are racist and they're devils and racism exists in their part of the country, then you have to question why hasn't the racism persisted when they practice in the same religion? What religion tells you to be, I mean, why would you even want to follow a religion that tells you to be subservient to another race of people?
Good point.
I fought him. If you want to say that this cleaned up people, if that's the case, he could have made up a religion like L. Ron Hubbard and cleaned up the ghettos and cleaned up people. Why give them a religion that was given to them by the people that enslaved them? I don't get it. I mean, that's just giving justification to the shit that he did. He was not good to people. To little girls, he wasn't. Those little girls he had babies with and denied. Mm-mm. And if his wife knew about it, why deny the babies?
How many kids did you have? You remember?
Mm-mm. Was it like 3, 6? I don't remember. I'm sorry.
I think it was more than that.
Because to be honest, I didn't even know all of that until I seen the movie.
You're
thinking you're going to the mosque and everything, and nobody told you this part.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't go ahead and realize it until they saw that in the movie. And it was even some more people that were pissed off at Spike Lee for bringing that part out instead of bringing out the other parts that Muhammad Ali, what Brother Poverty Supreme was trying to say. Why didn't people go ahead and bring out those parts instead of going ahead and bringing out the part where...
I don't think it's true. I don't think that's true with what the brother said about it being widely known that he was doing that. Because if it was widely known, how the hell could something that's widely known been kept from his top official, one of his top aides.
Well,
Malcolm
why
X
did he
was
ask,
like his right-hand man. Why would he know if this was widely known?
My thing is this. Why would, if there were two, okay, so you know, somebody, some of them got to know something. If it's one, he might be able to hide it, but two, three, and it was, I think it was a few more.
But they was denying them. That's my whole thing. You so upright and righteous, why are you denying it? And it's just the things that religion will make people overlook. And that was my whole point. That shit is sick.
Get your sister.
So I'm not with the whole the devil thing. I mean, like, I don't know. Racism comes with religion.
Wait, hold on.
Once you let go of the religion, it's kind of hard to stick to racism. I'm finding myself, like, not being as racist as I used to be.
Everybody's line is open. Anybody want to say something?
But let me say one thing. I must admit, I don't really know too many white people. And I have never in my life until maybe, like, the last few years ever been around a white person or had conversations with them. I didn't even go to school with white people. So I must say that I have never really encountered white people. And I grew up in a real racist city, like really, really racist. So white people stay today where they was and black people stay where we were. And any lines get crossed, there's fights going down. The police were really racist. The malls was racist. Everything was racist. So,
Brother Pee Wee, you got something to say?
I was just going, you know, I say I really don't care what the man did. It don't excuse the fact that he was a pedophile. As far as religion, in my eyes, it's always been the devil to me. Whatever they want to say, I mean, I don't really believe in religion at all, but I never really seen nothing good about it. It simply divides people, first off, so that's already a problem, a big problem. And that's why, you relating to racism to religion, religion plays a big part of racism, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I can kind of agree with that, so, you know.
I think you can